You don't play Draw Something, do you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. You play Words with Friends?
No, I hate Scrabble.
Do you play Scrabble?
No. Jen does. Jen plays Scrabble. She has like 3 or 4 Scrabble games going at any given time. She's a Scrabble maniac. I could barely spell my name.
Is your vacuum cleaner running in there?
Nope. I don't have the fan on either.
Huh. I thought I heard something.
That's not good.
I thought I heard something.
No, there was just some a vacuum kind of sound happening.
Oh, okay.
That'll happen from time to time. I think it's the acoustics in this room.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't have anything to do
when
with
you close,
me
when you close
hailing.
Off the door, it's the air conditioning being sucked out through the door, right?
Right.
Should stay in school.
Yeah, because we need you guys, the next generation, to come up with weed that can't be detected.
By that, he means the stuff that Bonus S kills on the lawn.
Is that what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
As far as you know.
As far as I care. I think I should be Minister of Illegal Bits.
You're not really George Lowe's water boy anymore.
Hell, I got promoted to man. I was George Lowe's water man, and now I'm just serve.
Unless you're George Lowe's bong water man, and then...
What's a bong? Oh, you mean drum. Bong, bongo?
Yeah, bongo. I meant bongo. I absolutely meant...
Tasty.
I'm surprised that you didn't like Casablanca with your love for Bogart.
I do like Casablanca very much.
Oh.
So, there goes that theory.
I was making a different joke, but that's okay.
Mm.
If I have to explain it, it doesn't.
When you gotta
explain
the jokes,
is gone.
Not so funny.
The comedy's gone! Uh-oh, hockey season must be over.
It is here, at least.
Hell yeah. Well, almost. I think he's got 3 more games to reach 60. Stamkos does.
I thought they were done.
No, they were
just
done for
home schedule.
Home schedule is done. Yeah, they're not making the playoffs, but.
Yeah, they're not going to make the playoffs, but hey, we do have the Frozen Four here.
Yeah, I saw that. Are you interested in going?
I've never been to any college hockey, obviously, because the college that we went to wouldn't know what to do with ice other than put it in drinks. But depending on how much the tickets are and when the games would be, I would have to take a look and see.
Actually, I think they're this weekend, now that I think about it.
Yeah, I think that sounds right.
Oh, let's look. Hey, Rox, when's a college Final Four?
Frozen Four.
Frozen Four.
Frozen Four? Isn't it the end of the month?
I think it's this weekend.
2012. Oh, they're playing Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Boston College, Ferris State. And I don't remember the other one.
Northwestern.
Really? Those brainiacs?
Yes.
Tickets. Let's see. Tickets. Nope. It's Tampa, Florida. Yep. It's this weekend. Fifth and the 7th.
Did you guys already have plans or something? Or
I don't know.
No.
I do. I have some things that I have to do this weekend.
Okay.
I mean, it's Easter weekend, so
yeah,
I have to.
Really, they have a playoff on Easter weekend?
The 5th and the 7th would make it, yeah, Thursday and Saturday. Well, Thursday. Oh, what time is it on Thursday? We have a podcast recording tomorrow night, Rox.
Yes, we do.
If only I could remember what the number was.
888-665-8825 to give us a call.
And you can leave a message, and she'll answer your questions.
Of course, that number is going to be void by the time this thing comes out. But whatever.
Well, you can hear what transpired.
The telephone number will still be valid.
Nope. Probably
no,
not.
We're going to change it. Oh my God! You know, it took me several months to figure that one out.
Well, I can't afford the toll free. It's going to have to go to a toll number.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll talk about that during this podcast to let people know. Well, we kind of did. Talk as long as you want, people.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Talk, yeah. On the messages, leave an hour-long message for all I care.
Yeah.
I had hoped Misty Lou was going
to... I mean, the thing is most people have, like, long distance anyway, right?
Yeah, that's why I'm not really worried about it.
Yeah. What will be the area code?
It'll be the Atlanta area code.
Oh, okay.
Who's in Atlanta?
I know. Who could possibly be living there?
That's the home base for... Oh...
I thought we were off the coast of Iowa, John.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Wow. I need to post this photo. I had to tell you about my non-attending of a gypsy funeral later on.
You know what I forgot to talk about last week?
What?
It was my run-in with this biker guy.
No way! What happened?
Well,
bicyclist or motorcyclist?
Oh, I think someone tried to call. It was a motorcycle guy, a Harley driving man.
Okay, what happened?
Tell you later. It's not nearly as exciting as it sounds.
Oh, was he jogging?
No. I didn't actually run into him. I had a run in with him.
Oh.
Don't tell me you're a pitcher for the Rays.
Now, was he inebriated?
Yes.
Because it certainly looked that way in his photo.
Mugshot.
Yes.
Yes, he was inebriated. And he has had problems with alcohol before.
Who's this?
It's a pitcher that was on the Rays. He was here. He was in Florida for spring training. He probably wasn't going to make the Rays. They were saying he'd probably make their minor league team. But he got into a drunk driving incident, allegedly got into a drunk driving incident, and hit a motorcyclist and literally ran over his head.
Oh, wow.
Guy had a helmet on and survived.
Wow.
Kids always wear a helmet. Not
even when it's raining.
Yep. And not on both heads, gentlemen.
Only when it's raining.
The telephone number for the next one after this one will be 404.
Hold on. Let me find a pencil. 404.
Picture pages.
382-0769. And I believe that spells out something, actually.
404-382-0769. It doesn't have that ring.
Can't you put that in, like, Google or someplace, and it'll tell you what it spells out?
You're probably right, Serv.
What are you, singing the Smurf song?
No. Telephone... Number two words.
Converter.
Telephone number. What does your phone number's phone spell? Okay.
Sure.
It's phonespell.org. Yes. It deserves to be an org. 404. 382.
I think the zeros are going to screw it.
769.
It's
69. IOI Eva Opal. II Eva Mnemonics. No, it spells absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it's the zeros. The zeros kill it. I know. I'm a good and I can't think of a single word that has the number zero in it as its normal spelling. So. Hit the now you know, John.
Oh, sorry, I didn't even have it loaded yet.
Oh my god.
Well, there's I zero get a zero. I zero get a 07 ox.
Oh, does it? Is
I like
there
the
a
zero
way
ox.
Get ox. Yeah. That means stuff right there.
404-382.
Actually, it does have rocks.
0769.
Yeah. Rocks out with your cocks out.
ROX, the last three numbers is rocks.
Is it real?
769
wow,
is
woo-hoo.
Rocks. Of course, it's not going to find it on here because rocks isn't a real word.
So?
I mean, it is for us, but.
All right. So something rocks. What is it? What are the other ones?
Well,
I know something that rocks.
A? What is three? Three is.
Holy shit. What kind of question is that?
I don't know. What is zero on the thing?
I'm gonna call in to help
no,
me
it's
rocks.
Just operator.
Yes, help me rocks. What does this phone number mean?
Operator rocks. Zero is operator, so operator rocks.
Operator rocks. I am an operator. Okay. The 404
means not found.
Not found. All right.
Well, in
I know
in,
you're making this shit up.
No,
but 404
is actually in on the web is page not found.
Oh, that's right. True. Okay, and 382.
What does 382 spell? Here, let's find out. 382.
Dun 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 dun.
Let's see. I found these seven words. 382. Five. It spells fuck. F-U-C.
Not found fuck operator
like
rocks.
Asian
there
name.
You go. It's the new Kinky and the Geek episode of Help Me Rocks.
Dub. Etc. ETC is also 78382.
Etc.
Etc. ETA.
Oh my gosh, not found the ETA operator.
ETA
rocks.
Zero rocks.
ETA rocks?
ETA operator rocks. Yeah, all right. ETA rocks.
ETA James?
Operate. Operator.
What are the outside world thinks of all this?
They don't care.
What are real people doing tonight?
Well, it's Wednesday. They can watch Fur.
You're wrong. It's
the
Tuesday.
Imaginary biography. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's Tuesday. The imaginary biography of Deanne Arbus or History of the World Part 1 is
History
on.
Of the World Part 1.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah. That's what this is. We're making history-ish. We're stamping ourselves into the future. When we're dead, people can find these audio recordings and go, oh my god, people had nothing to do with that.
Just for the record, this is going into the National Archives.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah. All podcasts are being archived into the Library of Congress. That's what I was looking for. Library of Congress.
No way.
Yes.
How do they figure that out?
I don't know.
They just go around and call the iTunes or
Podcast, Library of Congress. Yep.
I'm having a lost dog. What are you guys having?
I just finished a Canada Dry.
Oh.
And something else.
Nah, I'm not finished with that yet.
And a Malibu Wow Wow.
Exactly.
This isn't bad. This is a Napa Smith Brewery.
An Acapulco Golden drink.
And it's a lost dog. It's red. And it's a 7.2 alcohol level thing.
All right. I'm going to have this limited release Wilco Tango Foxtrot. Which stands for, it's WTF. It's Laguntas? I don't know how to pronounce that.
What are you Lagunitas. Saying? I thought you were looking up Library of Congress.
Oh,
Are you still on the numbers?
Oh, everything's being put into the Library of Congress. Yes.
Wow, we're in the Library of Congress.
What kind of Lagunitas do you have, John?
Wilco Tango Foxtrot.
I've never heard of that one. That's a Portland beer.
Oh, yes,
Portlandia beer.
Oh wait, no, are you sure? Because this says Petaluma. It's Petaluma, California.
Huh. It might be. I don't know, but you can get Lagunitas all over Portland. Sometimes you even get it on tap.
Well, this is a limited release. And it's a multi-robust jobless recovery ale.
Jobless? Really?
Well, it's, you know, wait, what the fuck?
WPA?
No, WTF is what the thing is.
WPA. It's not the women in the war.
No, the WPA was the thing that helped people work.
We're not quite in the red or in the black. What does that mean? We're in the brown. That's what it says in there.
Mine is in the red.
So, John, what?
Hey, Witch is here.
Hey, I'm here. So, John, let me get this straight. So it's Wilco. What? Because I'm so confused. Because you say words.
Wilco, Tango, Foxtrot.
WTF.
Bravo, Bravo. Saying. Hey, Witch, did you know that this podcast is going to be archived in the Library of Congress?
Yes, I did. Actually. Because being a consultant to the Library of Congress, I helped make it happen.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Let's all drink a sip of beer for that.
But you know what? You know, it's interesting is that this podcast is going to the Library of Congress, whereas a lot of other podcasts are going to the Library of Progress. So,
except for Help Me Rock. So tune in when we introduce a new phone number for you people to call me.
Actually,
go ahead.
I was going to say Help Me Rocks is going to the Library of Regress is what it is.
Yeah, it's like Regretsy.
It's the
Regretsy for podcasts.
Okay. There you go. Look at this. Oh, we need to start that. That would be great. We're blazing a trail.
He said blazing.
What? What?
It's for me and you, sir.
Can't we just?
I have somehow missed the. It's pretty bad when even I don't get the sexual innuendo. I mean, me.
Oh, it wasn't sexual innuendo.
It wasn't.
No.
When you listen back to the podcast, I'm lobbying for a position.
Which, by the way, do you actually listen to the entirety of the podcast all over again?
Oh,
who?
You.
Why?
No.
Okay.
No, what I do is I kind of skim through it to look for those odd non-funny pauses where 10 seconds go by when we all sort of readjust and the soundboard doesn't see fit to play the anthem for the pause. So yeah, I kind of tighten it up so it goes from a... Because what people don't really understand is this is actually a five-hour podcast before...
And you have to get rid of the mouth farts, too.
The mouth farts, yes. Well, that is a definite problem for mouth farting. Farts of all kind are removed. If you knew how much farting went on this podcast, it's just sad.
Just one time you should leave them all in, though.
Yeah.
Oh! That'll be next year's April Fool's podcast. It's just nothing but 10 minutes of farts.
Oh, just so you know,
I just realized,
you know, John has a story and I have a story.
We didn't do an April Fool's this year.
No, we didn't. It's because it landed on a... Yeah, there you go.
Actually...
Or did we?
Thankfully, you guys did an April Fool's this year.
Oh, okay. Yes, that's what we did.
Yes, that was planned.
It was planned.
Exactly. Like
perfectly that. Perfectly we executed and timed.
We got played.
Did it land on the late night show? Then I don't care.
The late night show? We have a late night show?
We do, Widge. We've been meaning to tell you.
It's
all Kim. Kim does this.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
This after dark.
Hyundai is actually our primary sponsor.
Mm-hmm. Our candy coated Princess of Darkness, Kim is the host.
Mm-hmm. But we're not going to tell you about it, though.
Coated in candy.
That's because Kim's all sweet and everything.
Oh, did you burn yourself? What the fuck just happened?
No, I just spilled beer all over me.
Oh,
did
Mo!
You get the again?
No, no, no. No, no, no. And in fact, I've also the other lesson I learned is to put it in a nice, big, wide glass.
So it's a bigger target.
Oh, so it's a dog bowl you're drinking out of now?
That was me drinking out of it. That was my Foley work for the evening. Thank you, gentlemen and ladies.
That was like a mile.
Foley lives in a van down by the river.
I'm how sad. Sad.
All right, so.
What? Oh, my God. Is that house destroying you, John? Can you sit down? John, sit down.
I'm okay. This is the worst Amityville horror remake ever.
Sit down. You know, I told you to get rid of Jody, okay? I told you your kids just should not play with Jody. He's bad news.
Jody Benson?
And you know what? No, Jody, the pig.
Disco Stew fell off the shelf.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have Mr. Burns?
No, just Disco Stew.
Why?
Why not?
Well, Mr.
What do you
Burns
have against Disco Stew?
Why Pinto? Why not?
Yeah, all right.
The ender of all arguments. Why not?
I'm so very confused. So John, well, actually, John's laptop is now laminated, so there's no problem with spilling things on it.
Yeah, see, the thing is, usually I laminate it after the podcast. Wait a minute.
I'm not talking about figures.
Oh, you know what? You know what? This could be John's new hideaway. Remember in Time Bandits? With the evil supreme being guy, and all of his helpers are in that plastic with rubber gloves. John, yes. That's your new outfit.
John, don't touch it. It's evil.
That's what you should wear. Just encase yourself in sheets of plastic.
That was the parts that we removed.
It's a mouth fart.
Gotta remove that. Damn it!
I think you should.
I talked over it, which was the unfortunate part.
No, now I gotta. That's so much. See, the best parts of the podcast go away because people say brilliant things on top of parts.
We have actually written Shakespearean style novels over this, but people kept mouth farting over it. So
Shakespearean style novels.
I don't know.
Iambic pentameter.
Yes, everything. A whole entire podcast like that, except we had to cut so much out of it that lost
Shakespeare. Shakespeare actually did the novelization of Hamlet, so
it was a graphic novel.
I don't know if you guys remember the time that we solved cold fusion and someone malfarted all over it.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Yeah, that ruined was a tragic. Whole batch of beer and everything.
We were going to get the Nobel Prize for that, but no farting.
I'm sorry. It's my fault.
Nice.
I was gonna lay out our proposal paper too.
You know what? What?
Never mind.
Actually, what's really funny is that people don't know that there are every episode there's 2 to 3 people on the podcast who get cut out completely because of mouth farts.
That's right. That's why we haven't heard from Kim.
They're just gone. I mean, yeah, Doc has been on this podcast.
See, that.
Widge is gone.
Just like that. Holy crap. Widge, see the power of a mouth fart?
He should have known better than to be bad mouthing.
Yeah, once you acknowledge it and you start putting the light at it, it gets you back.
Just like Jody.
Mouth fart don't play around.
Mouth fart's like the honey badger.
Mouth fart versus honey badger. I don't want to see that fight.
What I was saying was, before I mouth farted myself off the episode... Is that Doc has been on the last 4 shows, but you can't tell because some strange person is mouth farting while he's talking.
Just like that. Did you hear that? Probably not. It's probably cut out.
God damn it. Hang on. Let me write down the time. All right. Jesus.
Time.
I do appreciate talking to Doc again because, I mean, so much has happened. He's just, you know, keeping up with him is fantastic.
I know. Well, it's hard to do. I mean, I'm glad he's got an RSS feed. I'm just saying. Yeah.
I know.
Well, I mean, we get to talk to him every week. It's just no one else gets to hear it.
No, I know. I know. It's kind of like a behind-the-scenes type of thing. It's like, well, I think actually,
it's like a tesseract of podcasting. It's the in-between space.
I mean, what? If I were listening to the podcast.
That was a big word. Can I use that in Scrabble?
Yes, you can.
Thanks.
I wouldn't think
as long as you give me
on the podcast. If I was just listening to it and not actually partaking in it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think he's in it at all.
I know.
It's
the people at home, you're missing out.
It's good disguise.
Now I will say that because of their proclivity for mouth farts, Sweden gets the uncut episodes.
Well, so yeah. Yeah. Oh, hey.
Yeah.
And I think parts of Poland does, if I remember.
Hey, John?
Yes.
Tell me a story.
Yeah, what is your story, John?
I want to hear Rox's story first. Mine's boring.
I don't know. Yours has a biker in it. Mine's like a non-story rant, but go ahead. Talk about your biker guy.
Versus biker, okay.
No.
Well, first of all, I know Aaron's up because he just played Words with Friends. I don't know why he's not on the podcast. Oh, wait, he is on the podcast.
Yeah, so I don't know what you're waiting for.
All right, so the other day I was going to work. Because I actually have
go to work noise. Okay, so let's assume you're at work, and then what happens?
No, it was on the way to work. So I was going to work, and it's really going to be hard to explain because you don't know the demographics of layout of the area around me. However,
suffice it to say, Tampa. Everybody knows you have nothing but roads. It's like LA
and stripper joints,
and bars and liquor stores.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's all there is.
Oh, I don't know. There is. Oh, that's St. Pete. Sorry. I was going to say the Dolly Museum, but that's St. Pete.
I get to take credit for that now.
What, the Dolly Museum?
Yeah. I'm a resident of Pinellas County.
Okay.
So we do get to count in my and John's collective neighborhood. We get to count the Dolly Museum.
Okay. All right. There you go.
See, John, I put us over
liquor
the top.
Stores and Salvador Dali.
Can I get a drink at the Dali Museum? Because if they had some kind of like melting clock cocktail, that would be awesome.
I don't think you could get a drink. I think maybe wine, maybe Spanish wine.
And Scott, he said clock, just for the record. Okay, well, it's gonna get cut out.
Scott will probably get cut out because somebody mouth farted.
Anyway, so there's a left-hand turn lane I was getting into, and I got in behind this motorcycle dude on a Harley, and I even stopped because
what model?
Oh, I have no idea. It didn't have turn signals though.
I didn't know bikers had models.
It didn't. Yes, this is the old kind of biker.
Okay.
Model. Like Easy Rider. What?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Easy Rider. Okay. No. So
is Rox an Echo?
I was getting into left hand turn lane, but the way that this left hand turn lane goes, it's possible you could get stuck out into traffic, and in the morning there's people just whipping off of this bridge, and so I thought about it because I was going to get stuck out sort of in the left hand lane without being able to get all the way into the turn lane. And I thought about it and said, okay, I need to make sure that I have enough room between me and him so that if I do get hit in the back, I don't go flying into the motorcycle guy because he's just got a motorcycle, right? And I've got a Honda Element. A manly car, if I say so. No, not really. So the only reason why I mention that is for something that happens later that you need to understand that I was actually purposely conscious of how far away I was from this guy so as to not hit him. So we drive down this road. It's a two-lane, one lane going one way, one lane going the other way. That's how two lanes usually work. Road, and I'm behind him, and the road is about, for those of you that live in this area, I don't know who's listening, but Philippi Parkway is where I was at.
Google it, Pete. Google it.
Philippi Parkway in...
Wait a minute. It's called Philippi Parkway?
No, Philippi.
Oh. Well, you know, there's hookers.
It is Tampa.
Alcohol stores.
It's about... in different parts, it's like 40 miles per hour. Other parts, it's like 30. But it's... The reason why I go this route to work is because there's only one stop in the entire road until I get to the Bayside Bridge. And it's a four-way stop. So I'm following behind him. We go through the school zone, so we drop down to 15 miles per hour. He drops down to 15 miles per hour like a block sooner than normal people do. I'm like, okay. So I dropped down because I had to match the speed. I'm not going to run him over. And there's no passing anywhere on this road. Then after the school zone is a four-way stop. So we get to the four-way stop. I'm behind him. We are at a stop. This is a stop where pretty much everyone backs up because it's a four-way stop. And it's the only stop on the road. He turns and looks over his left shoulder at my car. Now, I'm thinking at this point that he's looking at my tire because I can't think of why he'd be looking at me. As he's looking at me over his left-hand shoulder, he decides that now's a good time. The other guy that's on the other side of the road decides he wants to make a left-hand turn in front of him. So he's looking back at me, and then he decides, well, I'm going to take off now. And he starts to take off, and of course, the guy making the left-hand turn has to stop. And the guy weaves around him. The motorcycle just gets around him. So we're going for a little bit further, about another 3 miles, because I run that. So it's about 3 miles, I guess, 2.5. He's in a 35 mile per hour zone. He's doing 20 after the stop sign. So I catch up with him, and then he then looks over his shoulder again. We go about a quarter of a mile. He looks over his shoulder again, and then just says, "I'm taking." And he takes off and burns rubber. And he's about he didn't actually burn rubber, but he took off. And so I was like, whatever. And so then he was a good distance in front of me. There's nobody in front of him, and he go around turns, and I lose sight of him, and he come back, and then so finally it ends in this yield. This road ends into a major road, and ends with a yield to the right hand side, which is the way I got to go, and which is apparently the way he's going. But the yield is actually treated as a stop in this case because the traffic is 60 for those of you that are familiar with this area. The traffic is so much at that time in the morning, you have to stop. So I stop. And I stop probably about a half a car length behind him. He looks back over his shoulder again, kicks down his kickstand, gets off of his motorcycle, and comes back to me. Now I'm thinking, okay, in my mind, I'm just thinking, well, there must be something wrong with my car because he was looking at my front tire, and I had the slow leak on one of the tires, and I thought maybe he was thinking it was low or whatever. So he comes back. Well, I got to make sure my kids aren't coming because of what I'm about to say. So he comes back, and I roll down my window, and I said, hey. I go, yeah. And he goes, can you follow me any closer, motherfucker? I'm like, huh? And he goes, if you can't see my tire, you're too close. And I said, I can see your tire. And he goes, motherfucker, shut the fuck up, motherfucker. And I'm like, I don't know. Do you want me to read your license plate off to you? Because his license plate is right there over his tire. I said, I can read your license plate. He's like, motherfucker, shut the fuck up, mother. And I'm like, this makes no sense. I have no idea what your problem is. And so I go, you're following me too close. I'm like, we're at a stop. I don't understand. We're stopped. No one's moving anywhere. And he goes, motherfucker. And so he keeps going off on motherfucker, motherfucker. I said, should we call the police and see what they think about my driving? And he's like, oh, shut up, motherfucker. And then he gets back on his car, on his motorcycle, and he takes off.
Car, what?
Yes, he gets back in the car. His motorcycle transformed into a car. And then he gets back on his motorcycle and waits for traffic and then takes off. What I did is I took a picture. Of course, I probably should have uploaded it to you, but actually, it's probably on Google now.
Oh, yeah.
I took a picture, and let me go to Google Plus, and I'll send you the link, of what it was, the view was for my, plus I also wanted to get his license plate in the event that I wind up dead, of what it looked like from my perspective, in which you can clearly see his license plate. And this guy is so concerned about me being too close to him, and this is no offense to anybody that rides motorcycles, because you're allowed to not wear a helmet if you don't want to. But the dude was not wearing a helmet, but yet he was concerned. He's so paranoid that when you're three car lengths behind him doing 30, he thinks you're too close.
He really? Thought you were a car.
Now I thought so. Florida has no helmet law.
No,
yeah, Florida does not have a helmet law anymore.
Okay, that's fine. I'm actually of a mind that if you're, again, you're welcome to risk your life as much as you want, because I don't think you're actually risking anyone else's life by not wearing a helmet. So more power to you. So if you are dumb enough to be riding a crotch rocket with no helmet, then I think that's evolution at work. And I think natural selection is a good thing. And more power to you. So,
let's see. I'm trying to find it. It usually auto uploads, but I don't see it here.
Cause yeah, I don't think there should be helmet laws. I mean, if you're that dumb, I want you to not wear a helmet so you will remove yourself from the gene pool.
Wasn't that something, what do you call it? That, Seinfeld once said in one of his routines, which is like the idea of a helmet law is to protect the brain of a person who's not smart enough to protect their own brain or something to that effect.
Well, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, it's a, you know, it's the same things with seatbelts. It's just like, really, we have to legislate you wearing a seatbelt. Really?
Huh. It's not uploaded. Let me see if I can upload it and share it with you. But anyway, so that was my
Am I
so
the only one thinking?
Was he wearing a vest? What did he?
Oh,
have
yeah,
color?
He was. Yeah, yeah.
Did he have colors?
No, no, he was wearing. Here's the thing, and I had the funny thing is I ran into my old boss later that day at lunch because I sit down at lunch. I'm at what's a place that's owned by McDonald's? It's a Mexican.
Chipotle.
Yes, I was at Chipotle and I sat down, and
wait a minute, Chipotle is owned by McDonald's.
Yeah. Yes,
it used to be. It got spun off.
Oh, really?
Okay. Okay.
Well, so I looked over to the left, and there was a guy with the same hair, same white hair, same white goatee, and I was like, "Oh my!" And he was wearing a Harley Davidson shirt, and I'm like, "Oh my! Am I destined to? I'm running into this guy again?" And then I looked at him again. And I was like, "Oh, that's my old boss." And then I walked and I sat down next because I sat down right next to him. I couldn't ignore him.
Hey, shut up and eat your fucking burrito, motherfucker.
Yes, exactly. I showed him the photo, and he said, and his take on it was, because the guy was wearing loafers on his motorcycle. Yes. He had his shirt, he had a Harley Davidson leather vest on over his shirt and tie.
Poser.
And that's what he said, because he does ride too. He said, this is a guy that only rides his motorcycle to work on Fridays. Because he's not even wearing the right foot gear. The foot gear is way too slippery for.
No helmet and loafers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Poser, yeah. Motherfucker. I should go down to Tampa, find that guy.
Well, I got his license plate number.
Friday. All right, send us him.
All right. You tell your story. I'll be right back. I got to get my phone.
Crawl space, here you come, motherfucker.
All right, so last week...
Wilco Tango, oh shit!
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Follow my ass. Anyway, last week we were gaming, and we were playing superheroes. And we usually get a break in between our gaming so we can catch up on news of the week. You know, we get together, and if we're gaming, we try to do full gaming, and then we get like a 15-minute break so we can... We actually have a list of what we need to talk about within 15 minutes before we're forced to go back to gaming. So we didn't really have a list. We really didn't have a break, you know, a break that time. So it was towards the middle of our session. And my friend, we'll call her Carol, blurts out and says, "Did I tell you about the gypsy funeral that took place near my work for 3 days?
Oh, that is like the most how to get Rox's full attention.
I'm like, okay, we're stopping gaming right now.
See?
And Carol, I'm like, wait a minute. What do you mean, Carol, that, you know, there was this gypsy funeral? She's like, well, yeah, my office is right next to this funeral home. And apparently a ROM traveler was killed in a car accident, and apparently a bunch of gypsies from all over came to this funeral home for 3 days. Now, this is the killer part, is at one point Carol is walking to her car, and apparently the funeral home's parking lot bumps up against her parking lot where she works. And one of the ROM invites her over to have something to eat. And Carol is like, no, I'm good. I'm like, Carol, you couldn't pick up the phone to call us? And my friend, we'll call her Lena. She's like, yeah, we would have been over there within a heartbeat. Now, they went all out. Apparently, they spent like $7,000 just to host this funeral for 3 days. It was a life celebration. They had catering service. She's like, she's never seen so many Cadillacs in one place in her life. And I'm like, Carol, you couldn't call us? Her reasoning, she goes, I thought you would have been happy hearing about it. I'm like, no, hello. Hobos, gypsies, that's up on the top of the list, Carol. So we made her feel guilty, so we put her on the caravan. You know, so out there in listener land, if you know of a gypsy funeral in your neighborhood, take pictures or give me a call, and I'll find a way of getting there. All like 3 days. And here's the kicker. They were feeding other people from her office, and she didn't go over. 3 day gypsy funeral.
Well, you would have been there.
God, I would have been there. And the funny thing is, my friend Lena's like, yeah, you would have even shown up as a steampunk. I'm like, hell yeah.
that is like Burning Man for you.
Yeah. And Carol, air quotes, Carol, really, really screwed that one up.
What's really hilarious, Rox, is that I know the people you're talking about, and their names are Carol and Lena. You just reversed them.
Yeah, I did.
That's okay. I'll cut that out so they'll still remain anonymous.
Yeah. No, leave it in.
And there was a third.
Carol is on the. All right. We stopped calling it on the bus for guilt trips. It's on the caravan.
That's good.
Carol, yeah.
There was actually a third person in that story, but I had to cut them out because of mouth farts.
But yeah, it's like, how could you? Oh, so anyway, on Twitter, I actually uploaded. She did do this. There's a picture of a wind chime or a charm or something. If you go to my feed, well, this is for the listeners, Rox of Spaz House. So when you're listening, search it out. I'll repost it. And it is a sort of a charm or something. And Carol said it's still there.
It's Rox,
I'm like, oh God.
It looks to be like a yuppie type of Blair Witch thing.
I think so.
It's
gypsy, so don't touch it.
I would not first.
Well, you know, that's the thing I told Carol. I'm like, you know, you would have been fed by a gypsy. Do you not know that's probably good luck?
No, I don't know.
They would have asked for your wallet, you know.
You eat the pie and then they go thinner.
No, that's after you hit. Well, no, that's after the poor person that hit the poor gypsy.
You remind us of her.
Yes.
Thinner!
Franco!
Yeah. I hated that book.
I actually liked it just because of the gypsies. White man from town.
Of course you did. That's why you...
Did you ever read... what is it? Prince of New York? Or the kid? There's a gypsy... There was a book, Kings of New York or something. I can't remember it. Jason Robards was in it.
It
was a movie that they actually based off of a nonfiction book about gypsies in the 70s, 80s. You know, some of the cons that they perpetrate and stuff. And it's really, really fascinating. And it's really worth looking up. If I had the internet, I'd look it up maybe later. But,
internet, how are you communicating with us on Skype right now?
It's the souls of the house.
The call is coming from inside your house, Witch.
You know that linen closet in the hallway.
Wait a minute. There is no linen closet in the... Oh, my God!
No, the funny thing is this one woman actually said she can still trick people into that. There's a con where they can have people believe in evil, bad luck by actually exercising it from you and actually injecting it into an egg And they explain in this book how that's done. It's like, oh, no, we just get these certain types of eggs. And,
evil omelets.
And you know, the white man from town doesn't really understand. And they get fooled all the time.
Okay, so backing up for a second, John, I just received your picture of this lame-ass biker.
Yes.
I can understand your confusion. Because let me just, for our dear listeners... It's not that John was flummoxed because this guy was like this hulking biker. Because I was seeing in my head your typical Hell's Angel type.
Yeah.
This guy isn't even Hex Angel. I mean, it's just like he looks like. Okay, imagine Ron Perlman from Sons of Anarchy. but it's not crazy Ron Perlman. It's like if Ron Perlman were an accountant but still trying to be in Sons of Anarchy.
Wow.
So I could just see you going, who are you? I mean, I could just see you being so confused. What is happening?
I mean, I've had incidents before where I've had to actually get out of my car because someone was approaching me. Mostly in this case, it was some drunk dude. In the previous case, where I told him, just get the fuck back in your car.
So why would you get out?
But in this case, I didn't get out. I didn't get out because I was just like confused. I wasn't sure what he was.
Ever get out of your car because suddenly you've gone from being encased in metal with wheels.
Oh, he was already getting out of his car, and I could see there was no chance that he was.
The drunk guy, not the motorcycle guy who's on a motorcycle, not in a car, right?
Right.
Okay.
Huh?
There was a mouth fart.
Anybody follow that? Because I think that, I think the mouth fart might have messed up the
mouth
sentence. Oh, so there's that. Hey, you know what else I saw the other day?
What's that?
And I took a picture of it as well because I had my camera mounted on my car.
Of course you do.
Well, it's
why do you have that mounted like that?
It's a little suction. If you look it up on online, there's a little suction cup because when I put it in there, when I put my Bionic in there, it turns into a Bionic that's actually an Android device that actually works.
I've heard of such things, but I don't believe in them.
When I put it in there, it turns it into car dock. Basically, it goes into car dock mode. And it's got navigation, and I can play my podcast. It basically plugs into my stereo, and I can...
Car dock was actually a dock.
I need that for my bike. Bike dock.
So that's why it's there. But it also works that the camera, I can press the button and bring the camera up to... looks out the front of my car. In this case, I actually had taken the phone off. This is actually... The picture I sent you is the view from my head, not from my dashboard, but from my head.
Why is it mounted to your head? If the phone is mounted to your head, does that make it a head dock? Why? I'm so confused.
Well, I was taking it. Oh, yes.
He was calling the cop. He wanted to call the cops.
Well, I was about to call the cops. When I pulled the phone off, I said, should we call the police and see if what they think of this is the exact wording I said. So that's when he told me to.
You know what you should have done? You should have said, you know, you were close by because there was that shiny piece of nail sticking out of his rear tire, and you just wanted to make sure.
For the NASCAR fans, I should have told them that I was drafting.
Or cycling, you can draft. Yes.
So I was drafting behind him, but the thing is that I was at. We were all stopped. I don't understand what the point. What? Where he thought we were going?
He's a poser. Just leave it at that. And the next time you see him on a Friday, just flip him off and say poser. They'll hate that.
Yeah, they do. Oh, so the
he's the star. He's Ron Perlman in the show Sons of Bureaucracy.
Oh yeah,
awesome. So
they're the ones. Even from Tampa, he'll put his motorcycle on a fifth wheel trailer and cart it up to Daytona. That's the type of guy he is because he's got a showboat type of vehicle.
Oh, and by the way, hold on, I'm going to turn on my camera real quick. Rox, you're not going to be able to see this, but
it's called laptop dock. Because
oh, hold on, I muted my microphone instead of turning on my camera.
So it's mic doc.
It's quality. So when he went to turn, because
hang on, video's coming up.
Okay, hold on.
This is gonna crash everything that I'm turning on the video just to
I'm
see.
I'm sure.
I gotta show you what I did. Serve, you can see this, right? Serve, are you there?
Serve, say something.
Yeah,
so we
it's
know.
Still
We're still
spinning.
Here.
Oh.
Yeah, it's still spinning here too.
Well, it's gonna be hard to here. Come on.
It's gonna be hard to show you if you can't see.
Did we lose Rock?
No, she's still there. Okay, can you see it yet? No.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, here, do this. We'll do Theater of the Mind then. take your.
That guy doesn't look all that imposing.
My God. I'm finally looking at this guy. He looks like a reject from a Renfest, too.
Take your pinky.
Loafers kill it for everything. I mean, the loafers.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Take the pinky on your left hand. Fold it in towards your palm. Take whatever the ring finger on your left hand. Fold it in towards your palm. Make a gun formation with the remainder fingers that are still pointed out. And now hold it up by your head, pointing up to the sky.
Yeah.
And then throw it out real quick to your left. That is how this guy signaled to make a left-hand turn.
Oh, really? Loser.
As I said, he didn't have any signals on his bike.
Hey, biker accountant asshole, you're supposed to turn it to the side, then you'll be a gangster biker.
Wow. Loser.
So
that's how Tarantino drives a bike.
We already hate that. This guy.
Wow.
And so then the other day I was driving on that same road. And I saw this. Let's see if I can. You know how they have all those little stickers on the back of people's cars that have like a mom and a kid and a dog and a.
Oh yeah, that's how many they've killed. Yeah.
although I must admit, the security guy at my work has zombie family on his.
Rox actually had to buy a second Zeppelin because the first one is covered in stickers.
Oh, it's covered, man. Yeah.
Anyway, he has zombies, which are they're pretty cool, I guess. But
oh my God, you know what that would be kind of cool, not in a sick kind of way, is you go through parking lots with like little red tape and you make X's through the families.
Well, hey,
and nobody
Rox,
will notice it
Rox,
until
hold, wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. I've got to show you something. Okay, Widge. I'm gonna send this out to you again and then serve. I got this thing here. And I'm attaching. This is all fun for the listeners at home. While we're doing that, Rox, you heard the or did you see the episode of Comic Book Men with the
which one?
What do you call it?
I saw all of them.
The one where they got the tattoos.
Oh my God! Yeah, that was funny.
What did you think of Brian's tattoo?
His niece has Down syndrome, and she's very sweet. She seems very sweet, and I've been around mentally handicapped people, and honestly, I think he was being very honest about that. And I knew, you know, you wouldn't do that.
Oh, I think so too.
Brian off of this show is kind of the weird, funny, smart guy that has really no job.
Explain to people who didn't see.
Oh, okay.
The show.
So in Comic Book Men, everybody kind of agrees to get a tattoo. Or I think it was Ming's idea. It was Ming's idea to get a tattoo, and Walt's like, okay, well, we got to do something really cool. So Brian he comes up with this drawing of his niece as a zombie on a tricycle. And it's, you know, the rendering is really good. But you find out that she has Down syndrome, but she's a fan. She's what? I don't know. She's what? 6'7" maybe. Anyway, they get the tattoo and at first, you're like, oh, are you really going to get that? And I didn't think he was going to get it. So, but when you meet her and she actually loves the tattoo, I'm like, well, okay. You know, that's, you know, I don't know. I kind of liked it.
Right. So it was a zombie version. Did you say this? It was a zombie version of his
of her of the knee on a tricycle.
And it's like a big, huge
on the forearm tattoo. On the inside forearm.
Not even.
And
hidden.
He's a big guy.
Yeah.
I forgot what did Ming get. Ming got something weak.
He got the family crest thing.
And Mike got his wife's name or something.
Yeah.
And Walt knew he wasn't going to get one.
And pushed out. So I sent you guys that email with the other photo of the thing that I saw. By the way, that's that four-way stop. The first time the guy turned around and looked at me.
This one that says zoom.
Yeah, well, it's another one. So it's on the back of this Pathfinder. And if you zoom in, if you can zoom into the picture of the lower right-hand side of the back window there, you'll see something interesting.
Is that kid missing a head?
Well, there's that.
Oh, but the dad's got an X
put through.
And the kid's got a club or something.
No. I think the kid's just fade. His that one's just fading, or it could just have been the angle of the photo.
Oh, John, it's that bit from Back to the Future where they've gone back in time.
I thought so.
Great. And dad's no longer there.
No, dad has apparently been. The mom is apparently divorced.
Wow. And, but she doesn't know how to. Now, the thing is this stuff is not ultra removable, people. It sticks on just like old.
So she decided white X through dad would be a better idea.
Wait. So
yeah, I like that.
I mean, they have joint custody of the kid, and so that's why he's fading out.
Wow. You should Twitter that one.
Anyway.
I don't do anything on Twitter.
The only thing I do on Twitter is just post telephone numbers. That's it.
Well, Twitter this one with the new phone number for next week. Oh my gosh! Under the tagline, forget 888-665-8825. Go with this 404 number.
ask Rox how to have separation on stickers on decals on your car.
That's right. Either that, or you'd be driving around with a little Barry Goldwater election bumper stickers that come off.
It's so in that same vein, I didn't get a picture of it, but on the way home, the same road, I'm beginning to wonder if I shouldn't be going on this
road
at all.
John, use a different road. You got MapQuest.
There was these same pictures, not the same exact ones. But in reverse. It was weird. Ooh. No.
The biker was coming towards you.
No, the same kind of, mother, daughter, son.
What, motherfucker?
But then there was two dogs on it, but they were laying on their side looking as though they were dead. And I couldn't figure out if they were just like they were laying down or if they were actually members of the family who had passed on.
Wow.
And this goes all the way back to the whole Poppy thing.
Yes, it does. Poor Poppy.
Poppy was 80-something years old and died. Okay, you don't need to put that on the back of your window.
Oh, my gosh. You know
I don't
what?
Need
I
you
want
to make
get
these
one
decisions.
Of these stickers, but it looks like a shark. So that, how the people have, instead of the little people, they have the little Jesus fish? Put the shark next to it.
I do.
Or have the people riding the Jesus fish.
Fish.
What's that? I'm sorry, Widge. I got you off.
The Cthulhu Jesus fish, where it has all the...
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
That's good.
Yeah. So road hazards.
I think those just made me want to eat goldfish. And by that, I mean the crackers.
And by that, you mean sex.
Of course I do. And what's great, I'm really sorry, because there's some mouth farts in there. So there was that joke went on for about 15, and by that you mean, and then there were mouth farts. I don't know where those came from. It's probably Aaron, because he's just been here, hanging out, farting.
Surprisingly hard, actually.
See? Told you he was on the call. Oh, my God.
It's the pause that refreshes every 15 minutes on Weekend Justice.
That is a completely legal pause right there. So here's a question. So,
but I think Tuffley might actually get voiced in this podcast now. He might actually make the podcast.
No, there's too many mouth farts going on. It's really...
I don't know.
It's gonna be, this is a six-hour show that's going to wind up 15 minutes. It's going to be sad.
Again.
Again. We actually... It takes days to record Weekend Justice. So did anyone actually I'm fascinated to know, because I posted my way homer for Wrath of the Titans. Did anyone actually see Mirror Mirror? Did anyone go see that?
No.
I don't think so.
I didn't see your Wrath of the Titans.
I went to the Mikado.
What, steakhouse?
Yes.
Oh. How was the steak?
Good. Singing was off, but you know, the steak was good.
That's good, especially because the steak was trying to sing while you were cutting into it.
Yeah, actually, it was more like screaming, but you know, what's the difference?
But Wrath of the Titans at least was 150% 150% better than Ghost Rider, right? Is that how that works?
Point 5 is like infinitely more than zero, because you can't multiply anything by zero as zero. So it is infinitely better. I would put it that way.
I love the photo that you used for the caption there, or for the
New York Times posted a thing about, you know, the American interest in fairy tales in general at the moment, that I guess they're superseding superhero-ness at the moment. You know, when you consider you got Grimm, Once Upon a Time, Mirror Mirror, Red Riding Hood.
There has to be something that set this off, though, right? Because, I mean, that's how Hollywood works. I mean,
I don't see anything that, other than like Enchanted, which I actually love, because if you see it after you saw Mist, it is a fantastic film. Oh my God. You get Mist, that'll take you down to the worst part of human nature, and then all of a sudden you sneak into Enchanted and you're like, oh my God, this is an awesome film because it's so happy. Oh my God, it's amazing. But it's like a perfect drug, really.
The best part of Enchanted were the musical numbers, because
oh my god, yes.
So no, that was a cute film. But no, I think the thing is, what you probably had, first of all, here's what I think happened. This is my theory about this whole cavalcade of fairy tales, is that you start off with fables, right?
Right.
See, Vertigo title, which ABC was actually working on as a series. Then when Marvel bought Disney, because Disney owns ABC, then basically either the option lapsed or Warner Brothers took it back. Because, I mean, what I see happening is that all these various media empires are going, why do we keep selling shit to other people? Because, I mean, look at Marvel is just like, kicking itself in its own ass that it ever sold anything to Fox or Sony at this point, because they want X-Men back so bad they can taste it. And I guarantee, I mean, you know, like what?
Except that at the time they sold it, they needed the money.
No. I know that, but I'm saying it made sense for them to do that. I mean, we were talking, I think, what was it last week, about the fire sale in which Lionsgate picked up, you know, Ant-Man and,
yeah,
Black Panther, and I think, and stuff like that. Basically, from a movie standpoint, C-list properties that they eventually wanted to turn into something. But anyway, I think what we're seeing is a bunch of people pulling properties back. I mean, like, why would Warner Brothers ever sell why would DC sell a property to anyone other than the parent company? Why would you do that? It makes no sense. So what happens is either DC Warner pulled it back, or Marvel, Disney, ABC decided they didn't want it. Especially when they went, well, we did all this work. The shit's public domain anyway. Fuck it. Let's tweak it a little bit and put it out. We'll call it, I don't know, Once Upon a Time. And then I think what you had is that Fables deal set off a bunch of people going, hey, this shit's in the public domain.
Yeah, but it didn't. just to break in, it's... It's a property that works and not work. It's like, remember NBC had 10th Kingdom?
Yeah.
Which was that miniseries which was based loosely on fairy tales and stuff, living in the real world.
Yeah.
And that just, it had, what, John Larroquette in it. That's the only one I remember that was in it. I mean, and then it took, like, what, another 10 years? Or as you were saying, it took Fables, a really popular comic, getting it right.
Well, let me ask you, because I didn't see 10th Kingdom. Was 10th Kingdom supposed to be as realistic and serious as, say, a Fables
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and yet they couldn't pull it off. They got some really good actors and stuff in it. It would go right. I mean, you're talking, I think, what, a mini series of a week. And then it just fell apart. You know, they had this one guy who was the big bad wolf kind of guy. And I honestly can't remember it. I sort of blocked most of it saying, okay, here's where it fails. This looks okay. You know, the premise seemed really plausible, you know, as far as being a hit. But it was during that time where it was the mid-80s or late-80s that it was like, you know, people weren't interested. You know, it's just like, you know, people were outside or something. So nobody listened. So nobody really watched it, except me, I think.
But, I remember it, but I never watched it.
To me, it had promise. You know, as somebody that likes, you know, has read, you know, the real, or, you know, the actual Grimm first run of fairy tales, you know, how the adult connotations of fairy tales. I'm like, oh, okay, this would be kind of cool. Personally, I'm still waiting for a really cool movie about Baba Yaga, but, you know, that's just me.
Well, you know, what's weird is I just posted a feature about the 60s weirdo, was released by Blue Underground, Baba Yaga movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So. But anyway, Fables came around and I'm like, okay, they really did it really well, you know, fleshing out as many characters. Yeah, I mean, you could keep going. I mean, on fairy tales and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you can go to the Scandinavian ones and stuff if you wanted to. I mean, they haven't even really brushed into trying to take back their king. I'm sort of going slow in reading Fables opposed to reading Walking Dead. I think I plowed through Walking Dead opposed to, you know, I'm kind of taking it a little slower with Fables. But Grimm is a really good show.
Oh, it's awesome.
As far as I don't know where they're coming up with some of the names and stuff, I kind of try to do some research, but it is a great show. Not sure on that Once Upon a Time, though. You've watched some of it, haven't you, John?
Once Upon a Time? Not really. No.
Oh, okay. So
I'd rather watch Mirror, Mirror. So you're not going to go review Mirror, Mirror?
What's that?
So you're not going to review Mirror, Mirror?
No, because, I mean, it's...
What is your criteria for reviewing a movie, Widge? Let's break it down. Let's get real.
Traffic.
What time has got available?
There you go. Traffic. I mean, like for example, I mean, there's certain films that...
Oh, there's motorcyclists in front of you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're just...
Posers.
What do you got against Julia Roberts as a Wicked Witch, motherfucker? No, I mean, both films looked like they were going to be excruciating, and it was like, well, which one do I feel like I'm up for this weekend? And I mean, and part of the thing is going into Mirror Mirror, like I said in my review, it really does look like it's created for 6-year-olds. And while I may have the emotional maturity of a 6-year-old, I don't necessarily want to go see a film in that demographic. When at least with, you know, with Wrath of the Titans, I can get Liam Neeson and Ralph Fiennes. And if this is the sort of thing that enables Liam Neeson to make 15 more Taken films, then I'm fine. Whatever.
Yeah, the only thing I would caution against, Widge, Taken was awesome. Everyone agrees. I'm just, before we go off on him making 15 more of them.
Yeah.
let's just remember how awesome Die Hard was compared to Die Hard 2.
Part of the problem is that they
one's Bruce Willis.
I remember when I saw the trailer for Die Hard 2, because this was, now kids ask your parents, this was before you had the internet where you could watch trailers before seeing them in the theater.
I barely remember that time.
I remember it because it was a big deal to watch the previews because you were seeing shit for the first time ever. And in fact, I mean, that was how you found out movies were coming. There was no websites and shit to tell you, oh, well, Ghostbusters 3 eventually or whatever. You literally would go to the movies and a preview would start up and you'd be like, what the fuck is this? And it was a surprise. So I remember
when it was The Empire Strikes Back, it was the best thing ever.
It was, yes.
Yeah. Oh, no, there were lots of previews where you just went, you know, fuck yeah! But, like, I remember, I forget what movie I was there to see, but I remember I was there in the cinema by myself, and this trailer started up, and it was a bunch of stats for a location that turned out to be DC Airport. And I was sitting there going, if I remember correctly, there is one of those trailer voice people saying the stats. And I'm sitting there thinking, this sounds a lot like Die Hard. And then there's talking about explaining some part of the plot, and you hear somebody running. And I said, this looks a lot like Die Hard. And then all of a sudden, Bruce Willis smacks up against this wall with a gun and says the line, how can the same thing happen to the same guy twice? And it was like, Die Hard 2, Die Harder. Okay. Swear to God, I screamed in terror. I literally screamed. Luckily, this is the show. I don't remember what I was going to go see. Place was empty. Otherwise, they probably would have hauled my ass out of there. I screamed and almost left. I, you know, didn't even see what I wanted to see. I was so distraught at the notion of them doing a sequel to Die Hard. So, no, I understand. But I think part of the thing about Taken is rather than try to do the crazy thing of, because that was part of it, was the how can the same thing happen to the same guy twice nonsense. I mean, that was part of it, is being so on the nose about it. I would just be fine with Liam, because Die Hard actually had some depth to it, you know? I mean, there's a reason why Bruce Willis was nominated for an Oscar for that film.
Whoa, what? He was?
Yeah.
I don't recall that at all.
No. Hang on.
But then I was only a fetus when that movie came out, because I'm only 20.
Yeah.
Hang on.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hear that conversation, go over to the Unique Geek and download our last podcast, the conversation between John and Vanessa.
Shut up. I've never felt so old in my life.
Wow. Why? What were you talking about?
What was it that she didn't know? She had never heard of...
an ice cream
turn? Oh, crap. I don't remember.
Oh, no. It was some... Oh, Red Dawn. She had never heard of Red Dawn.
Oh.
She goes, and then I had to ask her how old she was, and then I realized how old I am.
How old are you?
40.
Oh, geez.
I mean, 20. I don't understand why you keep asking me that question. I'm 20 with a 12-year-old.
I could have, okay, I was hallucinating. Thank God. Brain had a mouth fart. No, all right, God damn it. Bruce Willis was excellent in Die Hard.
Oh, he was. No, I'm not denying it.
I came fucking from Academy Awards, motherfuckers.
Thank you. I obviously have slipped into an alternate universe because I remember them showing the clip of him on the phone where he's picking glass out of his feet as the clip.
Don't you think that they would from then on be putting Oscar nominee Bruce Willis? I mean, I never see that with him.
That's why I'm saying I at some point have slipped into another universe in which that did not happen. I remember that happening.
Mm-hmm. Was there a wall punch at any point?
Yes, I was punching
a wall at the time.
So a biker dressed as Superboy came up and went, I'm gonna punch you.
Yeah.
And then he mouth farted.
Wow.
God. That's so confusing. All right. So, anyway.
Anyway, so yeah, what the hell were we talking about?
As opposed to Taken, which was so very straightforward. I mean, what I loved about Taken was it's the trailer said, this is what I am, and that's what the film was. You let my daughter go, or I will find you and kill you. That's pretty much it. And the fact that it was so well executed, that linear sort of thing, I'm fine with them doing just the same thing again. Just somebody else's daughter, his goldfish, his grandmother. I don't care.
Now, swim into the castle.
Dog.
You will be taken. Next. Right. Next, you will be swallowed.
You know, I use the line, I can find any of you. I have this large clientele of elderly volunteers.
I'm almost afraid
for this one
to hear this
organization.
Goes.
And I do their directory, and they're like, oh, do you need my number? I'm like, no, I can find you. And that freaks them out.
I can totally see you using that speech from the film. Like, I have a certain set of skills.
And then they laugh, and they go, oh, we know you can. Don't laugh.
Jesus. You know that they're, hey, have you guys seen the previews for Betty White's Off Their Rockers?
Oh. Is that a film?
No, it's a prank show, but with
Betty White.
With Betty White and elderly folks pranking younger kids.
Really? How can the thing is she's an icon now. How can she fool people?
Oh no, it's the other elderly folks doing the pranking.
Oh, okay. She's great, man. She's on Password, and you get younger people. They're like, oh my. They. It was the last time I watched Password, which was a couple weeks ago. They had Adam Carolla and Betty White. Everybody. When it came to the final thing, they all picked Betty White.
Where's
they don't want Adam. The Game Channel is where it's located.
Is it actually new?
Yeah, it's new. Yeah, because Betty White's all ancient and old. And Justified.
And timeless.
Justified and ancient. She can probably sing that song. Because what's her name's gone.
That's the pause that refreshes every 15 minutes on Weekend Justice.
So, no, I do think there's a law that Betty White has to at least make a guest appearance in every single show.
Oh, my God. So when can we get her?
She was great in The Wire.
Oh, my God. We didn't miss her out on because, you know, Aaron malfarted, right? We had her, right?
She was here in episode 100 to celebrate, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was.
And that Aaron.
It was Aaron.
Jesus.
It's Aaron. I mean, to be fair, it was Aaron and Din both. They were both having a
mouth farting contest.
Yeah, that's because she could do it in Latin.
She was like, ooh.
No, that's got to be cut out. Or are you going to leave that in as an example?
Well, yeah, it's Latin. It's okay.
Latin. It's a classicist mouth fart.
We've been here for 5 hours. You want to do introductions now?
No, nope, there's nobody here. Why should we?
Everybody that matters is here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I want to go get some key lime pie. I'll be right back.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Are you going to spill that too?
We have your sheet
in a little bit of introductions, and he's going to be like, oh, God.
Jeez, John, you've had 4 slices of pie now.
Is that a euphemism?
It is now.
Not that I'm aware of.
For all you John fans out there, it is.
they're called poppyists, actually.
Oh, my God. Good. Now that he's gone. Okay, ladies. So anyone who's going to be at Dragon Con, make I Love Poppy signs and show up at all of the panels that John shows up at.
Oh, yeah, there will be prizes. There will be prizes.
There will be prizes. Man, tell you what, people.
I will give out
drawings to each person that makes I Love Poppy. And the top prize, if you throw a pair of panties at John.
Huh? Wait, what happened? I just got back. I heard panties at John.
No, there was a mouth fart.
That was incredible.
What happened?
that's if that goes down, that's going to be so fantastic.
God, it will. And I thought,
what happened?
I don't know.
Just a little poppy.
Rocks tested, serve approved.
Seriously, I just got back. What happened?
We're about to do introductions, and we're doing them starting now.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week, but now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Edition of Weekend Justice. It's the Weekend Justice podcast here on needcoffee.com, the podcast that is more plagued with mouth farts than any other podcast on the planet. Motherfucker! So, we're here in the Hall of Weekend Justice with Weekend Justice League, and I will endeavor to introduce them. Going from my right to your left, we have Rox Spaz House. Hi, Rox.
I'll find you, motherfucker. See, John, that's what you should have done. You say it with conviction. That guy, that poser, would have backed off. I'm just saying.
Nice loafers, motherfucker.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, John.
You better go home and just balance your checkbook, motherfucker.
Where were all my writers when I needed them?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. You know, we should do skits when we're in Dragon Con. You drive around and shit. Make up little skits. But we're all... You know, we have no time.
Yeah, I know. No time. And none of us own loafers. We also have Serve. Hi, Serve.
Jesus, this is the fourth time we've gone around with all the damn mouth farts. This is the fifth time that we've gone around with all the mouth farts. I can't believe how many times we have to go through introductions.
No, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Have you introduced Serve yet?
No, we just did Serve. I mean, Kim kept mouth farting, so it took forever. And that's, of course, John eating some key lime pie off his keyboard. Hi, John.
Almost off my keyboard.
That's what she said.
Is it wrapped in plastic, the keyboard?
It is. It's
You're eating it like Animal House Bluto style?
With your finger.
It's actually pretty good.
See if you can guess what I am.
Is it? What kind of? Where did you get the key lime pie? Downstairs. Where'd you buy it from?
My kitchen.
Oh, you made it?
No.
Oh, you have to buy stuff from your kitchen?
Yes.
Yeah, that's how it's done. They're like wolves at that house.
My wife puts a lock on everything.
Kids wander around with a T-bone.
John's pissing on things and marking his territory. Yeah.
That's why he's up in that little room. Come on.
I can just see him going, all right, I'm going to mark this territory. Oh, God. I did on the laptop. Oh, damn it.
To answer the question legitimately, it was Publix Bakery.
Oh, they're good. Except, you know, they came in like fourth. Wegmans came in the top as the top grocery store of the world because Wegmans is awesome.
But Wegmans isn't in Florida.
I know,
that's
we need one.
So
we
I don't really
need
care.
One. Well, I go visit my mom, and that's the first thing. It's like, go to Wegmans.
Where at? Where are they at?
I think they're, I don't know if they're out of Syracuse. Here's how cool working for Wegmans is. It's like, if you work in the wine department, They ship you to they ship you to France so you could learn about wine. And same thing with cheese. They'll train you. I mean, you go to like cheese school and stuff.
Whoa, you need to decant that motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, their breads are amazing. I mean, they're all artisanal type bread, and their butchered meat is really top notch. So, Wegmans, we need those. We need them down here.
Send the check to Need Coffee, care of
the Wegmans Frost. Fund.
Yeah, the Wegmans Fund. Except they're trying to make headway into getting the 7-Elevens back here. There's little signs I see. Welcome back, 7-Eleven.
And part of the problem is that any new location would have to be called Weg Persons.
Are you choking? Oh, too bad you marked your little wolf child. They could do a Heimlich maneuver on you, but you know, you chased him off. Wow, sorry about that.
Call of the Wild.
That's right, at John's house.
Oh, wow.
On his car, there's like all little wolves and big wolf, little wolf. On the other side are all the things they've killed. On the other side of the door, the windshield.
A pile of skulls.
Yeah, yeah. That's how they do it.
God, it's fantastic.
And then a lone key lime pie emblem.
Key lime pie is good. I like key lime pie. These and other interesting facts, only on Weekend Justice.
I know. Oh, God.
So did anyone...
I got to go get a snack.
Did we finish introductions?
Yeah, we did. I think so. Yeah.
Did anyone watch Game of Thrones?
I still have not finished season one yet.
Oh, okay.
Because you've already read the book, right?
I've read the book, so I mean, there was a certain point at which I was like, well, I can always pick this back up later. And don't get me wrong, I thought the casting was amazing, and I mean, there's no surprises at all. Ever.
I know, that's why I actually stopped reading the books, totally.
Yeah, too late.
I'm like, I'll just watch the show and save myself some hours of reading.
Well, but I will say it's worth reading because I really enjoyed the books because Martin does world building.
Like, oh yeah, I love people that can really world build.
Oh God, I mean he has a world that feels completely lived in.
Odysseus can do that too with his little Kaldor series or whatever. I forgot. Ellie Modisette.
Yeah, I interviewed him and he sounded fascinating. I haven't read any of his stuff yet, but his points about trying to make a realistic fantasy.
Yeah, and it's interesting on how he started out. He was like the lone science fiction person at a fantasy panel, and in his world, he actually came up with, you know, a monetary structure. And I mean, you actually have a wizard. One of the stories is a wizard that actually has to find a job. I mean, that's really great. I mean, I know Jim Butcher kind of does that with his, you know, the new series, you know, the wizard in, you know, Chicago. You know, you need to eat, so you need to, you know, get a job. So that is a kind of a cool take there. So, but no, I haven't watched season one yet or season two yet. So,
yeah, and part of the thing is I'm just about done with the scads of bonus features on Boardwalk.
They're
fantastic. And then I'm going to go back and watch they have the same sort of features on Game of Thrones. So I'm going to be fascinated to see that. The Blu-ray of that.
I did see a trailer for the Comic-Con movie. When does that come out? Oh, wow, we got rain.
Oh, lots of wind.
Was that?
Yeah.
Oh. Do you have rain up there? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, we have rain.
Do you have your window open and you're letting the wind whip through the...
No. No, I'm just close to where the electrical storm is.
Wow. So at least I'm not hallucinating. There is wind.
There is.
Not just mouth-breaking wind.
That's right. So anyway, Morgan Spurlock has the Comic-Con film.
Documentary, yeah.
What's the deal with that? I mean...
I don't know. It's sort of funny. Mark Hamill had a Comic-Con kind of film years ago. Yeah, so I guess Morgan Spurlock's got to do another one.
I guess. I don't know. I've never been able to take him very seriously, so I don't
really?
Know.
Really? You don't like him?
No,
as
I
documentarian,
I don't,
or?
No, I just don't like the fact that, I mean... He got famous for creating a documentary that basically said, if you go to a restaurant and eat nothing but shit, your body will turn to shit. I'm like, really? Really?
Oh, did you see the counter one? The counter documentary to that where the guy ate at McDonald's sensibly and lost weight?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, I've not seen that, but I mean,
you should see it because it's really interesting. It was this guy, and when he went to the doctor at the end, and the doctor's like, "Oh, you lost weight and this and that." And he goes, "Well, you know, I ate McDonald's for 30 days," and the doctor was like amazed, and he goes, "Would you condone it?" He's like, "No." So he actually lost weight, because what he did was he didn't drink, you know, all the sodas and stuff. So
and he ate salads and
he ate some burgers. Yeah, he made some really good choices.
Some smart choices.
Yeah,
I you know, but okay. So here's my take on this, because I actually own the DVD because I enjoyed it that much. I think that he was pretty, and I enjoy his work actually. But I guess I'm apparently allowed to be wrong.
No, the only thing you're wrong about is Casablanca. You're fine on everything else.
I think that he treated that subject matter pretty fairly, and I think he made a point several times to point out that, you know, if you were to eat this exclusively like this, and you were to take and you were to do and remember, the thing was is that he ate one of every item that was on the menu.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't like he just said, "Oh, I'm only going to eat Big Macs." No, he ate one of every item that was on the menu throughout the entire time. So he did have the salads. He did have the other things. But the more to the point was, what is going on nutritionally with our nation just in general? So I don't think that, you know, it's unfortunate that you know, it's McDonald's that is going to get the brunt of that, because obviously he just chose McDonald's. He could have chosen Burger King, would have had the same results.
He could have chosen any place and had the same results.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're probably correct. But the thing is that one of the sad facts is it is cheaper for people to eat at McDonald's.
Is it?
Yeah.
You know, after a while, I keep wondering if it is. I mean, I remember just recently, I went to, I don't know, Burger King or something. I still spent like $8. Mm. And that was just getting a meal thing. And I'm like, I don't know where they're coming. I mean, I can walk down
right,
to Publix and pick up and spend $8 and get something far better.
You could have spent $3, though, $3.21, depending on time.
Well, this is true.
If you had gone with a dollar menu, right? So if you had stayed with just the dollar menu, you could have gotten a double cheeseburger, I don't know, probably a small fry, and like a medium or small Coke for $3 and change. And that would be an inexpensive meal.
I guess.
So the surprise is that if you pay... If you don't pay a lot for food, it's shit, and we're surprised.
Well, I would argue that at least in America, we have too much food, too many options.
There is that.
And we're constantly looking to...
No, but how is that?
To make
how,
money.
How
is...
But not enough options in beer.
This is absolutely 100% true.
Well, no, hang on.
He says drinking is WTF.
How is it that too many options makes people want to go eat shit? Because it would seem to me that if you had options, then you would realize, if you had any intelligence, and again, going back to the helmet law, that you could go, well, what can I do? I can spend $3, or I could probably throw another couple of bucks on there and eat something that's actually better for me. Because the smart person who doesn't need the helmet law knows that, well, I'm going to pay for this one way or the other. I can either pay on the front end and eat something that's maybe slightly more expensive and decent, or I can pay on the back end when I, you know, wind up like Spurlock did and be half dead at the end of it, and can't function, can't, you know, have organ failure, whatever else he was going through, and then have doctor's bills to deal with. So, I mean, again, I don't see why it should be surprising that if you don't buy something that's decent, you wind up hurting yourself with it. I mean,
well, no, I see what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying, but I guess what my point is that because we have so many options. Okay, here's where I'm going with this. Follow me. It's a long path. Because we have so many options, just take your cereal aisle or whatever. We preserve everything, so we put all these preservatives in everything. And we mass produce so much food that in the end, where we have to preserve it because it's going to sit on the shelf much longer, right? So we wind up putting all these extra things in, the preservatives, the sugars, the salts that are what's basically essentially making us fat. Whether or not it's cheaper or not to buy food at the store and make it, the options. I mean, if I look at my pantry, it's horrible. We could always make better choices, but then of course the world has changed and everyone's busy, so you go with, you know, what's convenient. And that's where we run into this. And I think that from my perspective, that's what more Super Size Me came out for me, which is that we live in a world of convenience and options, and unfortunately the easier, cheaper options are the ones that aren't necessarily good for us. You buy, say, you know, my daughter loves peppers. She loves green, red, yellow peppers, and say I go to the store, those things are freaking expensive.
Yeah, they are.
I could buy four bags of potato chips that's true. I probably should.
Well, actually, here's an argument for frozen food. Frozen veggies. Most of the time, they are flash frozen right there. Most of the time, they don't have the injection of flavoring and stuff. So actually, they are... And you can get stir fry. Does she like them raw? Is that it?
Yeah, she likes them raw.
Oh, okay. But there is a stir fry, and you know what? Sale ends tomorrow, hey. John. Bird's Eye is on sale, 50% off at Publix. So you can get Bird's Eye stir fry peppers for like $1 something.
Well, you know, I make her a salad for
a bag of it.
I make her a salad for lunch every day. I mean, it's not like she's.
Well, no,
she's,
I'm just saying the stir fry peppers.
But, how do we get on the subject? Oh, it was the Comic-Con episode 4 fans hope thing.
Okay. It's all his fault.
But here's the part I understand. So the I'm still trying to go back to understanding why too many options is a bad thing.
Well, I'm a capitalist, so I don't think that too many options I don't think it's wrong. I just think that when we wind up having so many options that the cheaper option, you know, they did a study a long time ago, it was like probably a couple of years ago, where they gave a bunch of people a series of different ketchups, and is in a grocery store. I think it was ketchup, but anyway, the point still works out. When you gave them too many options, nobody could make a decision.
Oh, no, I understand about that, but my point being is that there's a difference between there's the problem of indecision where you have too many options and you can't decide. Now, there's a difference between not being able to decide and, well, I'm just going to decide for the cheaper option, which is going to make me fat like Morgan Spurlock. So I guess I'm missing that connection.
Well, maybe there isn't a connection. I've been drinking. So what do you want from me?
I'm just trying to understand. That's all.
I guess if mom and dad have to both work in order to just survive and to pay the mortgage and pay the gas bill,
then they made a mistake by having children. Go on.
Well, even if it's just mom, even if it's not mom and dad, if it's a husband and wife that have to, you know, constantly have to work, you know, 60 hours a week in order to make ends
for
meet.
For their cable bill.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Well, you're making points for me that are not necessary.
I guess my point would be is that it's a matter of priorities. I mean, if you are, you have to prioritize when you have a certain amount of hours in the day, is that, because trust me, I know, because I want to eat ice cream and just eat Chick-fil-A all the time and drink beer all the time. And I don't want to actually have to make difficult choices that are better for me. And that is why I wound up with a 47-inch waist. But I take responsibility.
You're at 47?
I was.
Wow. I mean, oh, okay.
No, I was. I mean, trust me, I was huge.
I would have never pegged you as 40 at being size 47.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was. I had a 47-inch waist before I got on this diet, and I'm now down below 40.
Sir, would you have thought he was 47?
I would not. No,
You didn't. You carried it. You carried it well. Let's put it that way.
Thank you. Let me put you this way. There is something amazing about extra large and extra large T-shirts that you don't tuck in. It does hide things.
Black is slimming.
Black is very slimming. But no, I mean, so I made a lot of choices for convenience, and just because I am a lazy fuck and I admit it, and I would much rather buy something across.
How does your wife feel about that? You being a lazy fuck?
Well, it depends on who feels like working. I realize that, you know, every time I make a decision about food, that has to be a priority for me. And so I have to decide, what do I want more? Do I want to be, you know, basically a smaller land mammal than I was, you know, megafauna, 47 inches around, megafauna, or do I want that cupcake?
Did megafauna fight Godzilla?
Yes. No, I think, well, megafauna, and then it was mecafauna after that.
Oh, okay.
I was just megafauna. They couldn't afford to bring me back for the sequel.
So what are you down to now?
I am down to a little less than 40 inches around.
So you've lost close to 10 inches then?
I didn't lose 3 inches anywhere else. Let me put it that way. But no, about 7 inches and then some.
Again, how does your wife feel about that? Never mind.
hence the laziness. I lost about 7 inches off my waist. And have actually been exercising, and I've been eating, more vegetables and stuff like that. So, I mean, my whole point being is that it is a matter of priorities. It does take a little bit longer to eat better, but so what? I mean, what do you want to do?
But if you're, this is state of the economy and whatnot. If you're living on a salary that's just enough to get by, you don't really have the options to
define get by, because I mean, Rox pointed it out. In America, get by means you do have cable, and you have Netflix, and you have cell phone, and you probably have a gaming console, and you probably buy video games, and you probably do eat out several times a week, and that is what getting by is in America. So my point would be is that, you know, bullshit. There are people, first of all, yes, there are people in this country who are not getting by and don't have a lot of money, but I know lots of people who are, who consider themselves to be impoverished, and yet they do still have all of those things that we just take for granted as, oh, well, I have to have that. Well, no, you don't. Oh, Serv is leaving.
Serv, say goodbye before you leave.
See you guys. Okay.
See, Serv is trying to get by. That's why he's like, you know, I can't afford to be on Skype anymore, because he's only got a certain amount of, coins that he can put into the slot, and because he saves the rest for magic fingers. But anyway, so I mean, my point is that it is a matter of priorities, and you know, you just have to decide what you want to do. If you want to take care of yourself, or if you want to, you know, go buy that Thor DVD or whatever the fuck it is that people want to buy.
Yeah.
First world problems.
Okay.
But anyway.
So how do you decide what movie to go see?
Well, it all depends. Sometimes I want to go through excruciating pain, like with Sex and the City 2. But I knew that I was not going to have any fun whatsoever watching Mirror Mirror because it looks like such utter shit.
Now, why haven't you gotten to see like Will Ferrell's Spanish comedy thing?
Just because I haven't had time.
Okay. I mean, I don't know how you decided.
It wasn't in that time slot.
There was too many motorcyclists.
Yes, and they are like, what would that be? Oh yes. So what's wrong? You don't want to go see my movie, Chingo Sin Madre? So anyway, that's a really bad way of saying motherfucker in Spanish.
Oh.
Chingar is to fuck.
Oh,
see? Now you can do a Spanish mouth fart.
All right.
R. So anyway.
You didn't conjugate that right. I think it was... Ah.
usted.
I'm out of stories.
Let's
peruse the internet.
There must be other things. I will say this in lieu of, because I'll probably, it's too early to do this for recommendations, but I am really, really enjoying the insanity of the Ghost Protocol Blu-ray features. I had no idea that they actually did put Tom Cruise on the outside of the world's tallest building.
Did they really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise apparently is gonzo about doing his own stunts. And they literally did hang him. They knocked out about 26 windows in this building and shot on the outside of this building. It's fucking crazy.
That is nuts.
Yes. So, I'm very pleased so far with the behind the scenes stuff. I'm sad there is no commentary. And Brad Bird did not respond. He retweeted me, but he left off the part about me asking about the commentary. But no, because I'm sure it's one of those things where he's not talking about it. Because either when Mission Impossible 5 comes out, that's when the 4-disc Ghost Protocol set hits, or he's not trying to put a damper on any sales for the actual set. So, but just an early, and here's how much I love my listeners. I will say that that what I have is the Best Buy exclusive 3-disc edition, which is probably not going to be available on Street Date from Amazon. So it has an extra hour of features. So if you need to go to Best Buy to grab that, I will not be sad. That is how much I enjoyed Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
I didn't understand half of what you just said. Something won't be on Street Date because of Best Buy being at Amazon?
Best Buy has an exclusive 3-disc edition of the Blu-ray. That's only for sale at Best Buy.
Okay. I must have missed that part.
That's all right. And there's an extra hour of behind-the-scenes stuff on it. So it's not one of those things where it's like, oh, it's 7 minutes of extra footage. No, there's like an extra hour of stuff. So... whatever other edition, the Uber Mongo edition that will come out later would have to be like a 4-disc or something. So.
Now it's interesting. Never mind. I was going to say that Brad Bird directed Ghost Protocol.
Yeah.
Fine action film.
Yes.
Stanton, on the other hand, directs Carpenter of Mars. Carpenter on Mars. It's a story of a guy who goes there to raise barns.
Yeah, and starts a singing duo.
Yes. And not so great. But then again, now that I'm thinking about it, that's why I kind of stopped myself, because I'm thinking about, okay, well, if we look at Brad Bird's work, he did Iron Giant.
right?
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Which was not Pixar, but it was a fine film. And then, of course, The Incredibles.
Yeah.
So all these are kind of going down the same vein, whereas Stanton did what, Wall-E and Finding Nemo? Was that him? I know he did Finding Nemo, but I can't remember if he did Wall-E or not.
Yeah, hang on. I will tell you. So he was a co-director on Bug's Life.
Uh-huh.
He did direct Finding Nemo and Wall-E. But he was a writer on pretty much everything.
Well, I think they're all writers on pretty much everything.
Yeah, I know. And writer and executive producer on a crap load of stuff.
So I guess my point there is that maybe he was put in the wrong film. Maybe they gave him the wrong material.
Well, here's
doesn't seem to be his wheelhouse.
Well, but here's part of what I think the problem was, is that I do think that, because I've heard from some people who were big Edgar Rice Burroughs fans who were familiar with the work and as a result really enjoyed the film because they were able to come to it with enough information that they could fill in whatever gaps were there.
Oh, here, isn't that your biggest complaint?
No, my biggest complaint was I had no idea what the fuck was going on.
No, I mean, like, if I recall, this is one of the things that irks you about translations, if you have to book translations to film, if you have to have all this extra information.
Well, but here's what I think happened is I don't think it was the same thing as lazy filmmaking, which is what I call the Harry Potter films, in which they just go, oh, we don't have to put that in. I think that everyone was too close to it. And as a result, I mean, you know, if you know the story and I know the story and Rox knows the story and we're all working on the story together and nobody from the outside comes in and goes, wait, what? Then we don't know. You know what I mean? I mean, that's let me put you this way. Part of the thing that was a big thing for me when I had the day job was when creating processes is that I would try to stress to people, remember, you're writing a process for someone who doesn't know what you know. And the number one problem we had was that people, these guys were subject matter experts in whatever they were, what kind of programming language or line of computers or whatever. And so they would skip like three or four steps because, oh, yep. Well, that's obvious. Well,
yes.
No, it's not. It's obvious to you. But if I can't read this and follow it, then sure as hell the people you're writing it for aren't going to be able to. So I think that's part of what it was with John Carter, is that they didn't stop to go, well, is this working? Is this working for the non-fan? Is this? And as a result, you ran into a problem where, you know, if the theory holds that Burroughs fans dug it, then we saw exactly what happened with Serenity, which is, you know, the fans dug it, but you can't make a fan service film for $250 million.
No,
that doesn't make it. And I don't understand. First of all, part of the thing is, and I don't know if this was Stanton's fault, is that he never should have been given $250 million to play with.
Oh, I know.
What,
they should give it to me, and I can give you a moon ray.
What is the typical budget for
just,
a Pixar film?
You know, It's a better deal.
I thought for some reason you were going to say Moonraker. And so when you stopped, I went, what? All right. Well, let me, okay. I will tell you, let's see. The budget for Wall-E was $180 million. But if you,
and you know, half of that was buying rights from Hello Dolly. You know that, right?
True. But that was very effective. Now, but if you go back to say like, Toy Story had a budget of $30 million. Let's see, The Incredibles had a budget of $92 million. So part of the thing, but the difference is, John, that I think I could see doing a $250 million Pixar movie as long as it wasn't Cars 2, because they have an established track record of they will make money. Just like with, everyone was like, for Wrath of the Titans, people were like, well, this is the sequel nobody wanted. And I'm like, actually, no, that's incorrect. Because the first movie made almost, what was it?
It made crazy money.
But it made like $350 million worldwide. I mean, international, not domestic, but international. So they were making this film to ship overseas, basically. Yeah. Any box office that it does here is a bonus as far as they're concerned. So, I mean, there are certain things that are safe bets that if you said, would this be $250 million? Yeah. You know, if you could have very easily done, I don't know how what you would have spent it on, but like, you know, Hunger Games was such a safe bet. I would have, first of all, said, why do you need that much money? But I would have said, okay, if that's what it takes, okay, fine. And for all I know, they spent, because it was what, $82 million? They spent the rest of the $250 million on marketing, considering how well that thing was marketed. But, you know, the problems with John Carter are numerous, and I don't think they're all Stanton's. I think the film would have done a hell of a lot better with a completely different marketing campaign, you know, like one that worked. But, I mean, we talked about that before. But, no, I mean, it is interesting in that, John, that's a good point, is that you've got two directors known for animation making their live-action debut, and one rocked it completely out of the park, and the other one completely arsed it. In fact, you know what? Hang on. Let me see. I'm just curious what the budget for Protocol was, because it was...
Well, it's going to have a lot of budget just for the
just
stars.
Using that tall building and knocking
stars,
out
right?
Windows. Oh, my God. Do you know how much windows in a tall building cost? It's a lot.
Hang on. I'm looking. Okay, there you go. Production budget, $145 million.
And half of that was for the windows.
but see, that to me makes sense because you've got a known franchise that does make money, and you've got Tom Cruise on board who knows how to make films. And I know a lot of people are annoyed with Tom Cruise. I like his stuff. I enjoy him quite a bit. But, I mean, that thing went on to make close to $700 million worldwide.
What was the budget again?
145.
So less than John Carter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Way less.
Now,
you're still paying Tom Cruise.
Well, yeah. Remember, also remember, John, that Tom Cruise is a producer on it, which is why he's able to get away with all that shit, like hanging out a building 126 floors up.
I'm sure Farmers Insurance insures him because it's a sure thing.
but no, I mean, the thing about John Carter, I mean, I can understand that they were basically, I mean, so much of that was CG. They were building a world and having to integrate it with people running around in it. And you know, I hate to say it, but it's not Jim Cameron doing it. At this point, Jim Cameron, but after going, what are you, crazy? You're making a almost to scale Titanic? You're out of your fucking mind. He says, no, trust me. And it's like, you know, a huge success. Avatar, everyone's like, oh, he's out of his fucking mind. Huge success. So at this point, if Jim Cameron showed up and basically said, I'm going to do a 3D film that anthropomorphizes ping pong paddles and they're going to fight aliens. At this point, I would be like, okay. Whatever, dude.
Now, question.
Yes.
Are you planning on seeing Titanic in 3D?
Yes.
And reviewing it?
Yes.
Okay, well, so you're going for your own pleasure.
No. Part of the reason I want to see it is because I really did enjoy Titanic, and I still do. I think it's an exceptional film just in the way it was structured. Because, you know, say what you want about the Celine Dion song and whatever else, but I thought it was absolutely fascinating how Cameron created two people that it's plausible that they could be on the Titanic and we wouldn't know about it. And through exploring the ship, basically gave us a tour of the ship so we would understand how it was dying.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And then came up with a plausible way for our heroes to like run through most of the ship to try to get to safety. it was, and it's one of those things where, but it's to the point where it's not like he did it so blatantly that you're sitting there annoyed that it's happening. It's more like a, it's more like a fascinating thing of, you know, I realized halfway through it, it's like, wow, I totally see what you're doing and it's working. So I really enjoyed the film, and having seen the trailer in 3D, it looks amazing. And if there is, I mean, if there are two directors who I would trust to do 3D at this point, it's Cameron and Scorsese. Cameron, because Avatar was brilliant in 3D.
But not Michael Bay?
No. I mean,
he's got a crap movie, but you don't trust his 3D?
No, well, part of the problem is because it's a crap movie. I mean, you have to understand, until Hugo came along, Transformers Dark Arse Side of the Moon was, or Dark Side of the Arse, was the best 3D that I had seen, but it was, still wasn't great. But it was at least effective. But what I will say is that Cameron is the guy who they talk to. I mean, I think I mentioned before, these 3D IMAX films that they're doing in, like, China and such, they're bringing over Cameron's folks and Cameron himself to consult and to basically just go, we don't want to do this 3D just for the hell of it. You know, how do we do this and make it work? And the same thing with Scorsese. I mean, we talked multiple times on here. Hugo, to me, is so important to see in 3D because it adds really so much to it. And I mean, I mean, honestly, that and Avatar are the two films that I can say that about.
Yeah.
Even more so than like the Pixar or the CG 3D films. They're nifty and they're effective and they add a wonderful depth of field. But with Avatar and Hugo, you really are missing something without them. So I mean,
now they didn't do 3D for Inception. That was just IMAX, right?
That was just IMAX. Yeah.
Okay.
Nolan doesn't do 3D, or he has not. He did do IMAX. And what was interesting was because they shot a lot of Ghost Protocol in IMAX, they actually did consult with the Dark Knight folks to say, you know, well, talk to us about this. What do we need to do? How do we survive this? Because I mean, I don't know if you've seen the Steadicam rigs that they have for IMAX cameras.
Oh, they're incredible.
They're incredibly huge. And I urge anyone to go back and watch the Dark Knight bonus features where you can see an IMAX camera taking a header. One took a header when it fell off the rig, and they show the footage of it doing it. I mean, it's that was what was so brilliant. It's like, not only did this happen, oh, we got the footage, let's go ahead and show it. And the chase sequence underneath the overpasses where they had this amazing rig that basically was like a SUV with the camera on an arm. And there was an accident. One got smashed. It was like one of four world or something. And they smashed one of them. And they showed that too. But no, I get the feeling watching Ghost Protocol that basically they went, oh, so Christopher Nolan wants to do a semi-flip in the middle of Chicago, huh? We can top that. I mean, fuck. That absolutely killed me. Is why, go and watch, if you've not watched the Dark Knight bonus features, I implore you, do so that you can appreciate what you have to do to flip with an air ram a semi-truck in the middle of Chicago. That was practically shot, which is why it was so visceral and amazing. I really would like to see some actual research done as to just exactly how it is, because I believe this. I believe that we can pick up on CG versus real, even when what we're seeing, a semi-flipping in the middle of Chicago, intellectually we're going, okay, they must have CG'd that, because no fucking maniac would actually flip us. And then but it's so effective when you see it on the screen that it sort of makes sense when you find out it's practical, because there's just something about it that really, really just punches you. You're just like, holy shit. So I don't know. It's just me. So there
it
you
is
go.
You.
It is just me. I mean, maybe it is. It probably is just me. It's just me. But anyway, so what were we talking about? Tom Cruise flipping around and
food
and eating.
Yeah. I think Tom Cruise eats whatever he wants.
I think Tom Cruise has too many options, really. That's what it boils down to.
Oh, he can't decide. Oh, no, that's good.
Mostly, but with tighter pants.
That is Tom Cruise, actually. But it works for him. I actually, Rox, I think the next fashion thing needs to be, for those of you seen the film, the Russian general outfit that flips around into a hoodie. I think that's the new. Needs to be on Etsy.
I heard that Putin's going to start wearing that.
Really?
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Just to add more street cred. For his one election,
he also would go down a guide wire shirtless and hit a truck and do a flip.
Oh yeah,
because he likes to be photographed shirtless. I understand Putin.
Yes, he does.
So,
a manly man.
But anyway, that was Widge talking for far too long about movies. Someone else talk about. Why doesn't someone ever tell me to shut up? Anyway.
Is this Widge Goes Off?
Oh.
Yeah,
how's it feel to be back circa 4 years ago?
Before that, I was doing Widge Goes Off before there were podcasts.
Oh, I was just referring to...
Oh, my
to
God, and they're archived in the...
Weekend God. Justice Prime, that's what I was referring to.
Weekend Justice Prime, yeah. I was the ultra-awe of podcasting. There you go. I had the purple outfit and the mullet and everything. It was terrible.
I'm sorry.
Wow. Not an ultra odd joke, and not even the other comic geek on the podcast laughed. I suck. You know what? Here's what I'm going to say. He did laugh, but there was a mouth fart, so I had to cut it out.
Yeah, just toss it aside.
I know. I just toss it. It's just awful. It's terrible stuff. Oh, my God. But I will say this. For this weekend, I am going to do everything in my power to see The Raid. I don't know if you've seen the trailers for this.
No.
I have, yeah.
Okay, it looks absolutely mental. Basically, a SWAT team goes... Oh, Rox, you know what? This is actually your kind of movie. Get this.
The Raid?
The Raid. So, okay, John, let's see how long it takes for my description to wow Rox into wanting to see this. So a SWAT team storms a building which is owned by a ruthless crime lord. And
oh my God, and he makes the people oh my God, I've heard of this. Yes,
there you go. Yep, there you
7 seconds, Witch.
Thank you. yeah, basically, the building is filled with just cutthroats and
killers and thugs.
Yes, and basically,
thugs and
says,
killers.
Come out and kill the cops and enjoy yourselves.
A rating of 8.4 to see this film.
Yeah, it was on Rotten Tomatoes, it had some ridiculous. My favorite quote was really, if you've seen 15 minutes of this film, you've seen the whole thing. But why the hell would you only watch 15
minutes? I know. Holy crap. Yeah.
The trailer looks amazing. I mean, there's people being punched and shot in ways that you just go, ow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm good with that. So yes, that finally hits this Friday. I am. Tired. I live in like the largest city in the Southeast. Give me the fucking movies. I mean, I understand if you're going to do New York, Los Angeles, that makes sense to me for a slow rollout. That's fine. Okay. But if you're going to do New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, if you're going to start throwing in places like Chicago, fuck you. Bring it down here. What the hell? Come on. Come on. It's not like you don't have prints of it or something. Come on. Are you doing digital distribution? Do it. Just do it. Because it's ridiculous. And here's the other thing that makes me crazy. Not to sound like Widge Goes Off, but I will go off on this. If you are doing a slow rollout, for fuck's sake, put your release schedule on the fucking website. What was it? It's Coriolanus. They had no schedule whatsoever. It was like opens and
decide. And...
Oh, yeah, you know, because they had too many options. But it's like opens in select cities on such and such a date. Okay,
we don't know which one.
Yeah, what are the select cities, assholes? And when are you rolling out? It's just like, oh God. Is this because it's coming up with the Weinsteins and they don't feel like they have to advertise because they're that awesome? Come on.
Yeah.
We don't have to advertise. We'll just win Oscars. Anyway, I don't know. It just pisses.
It's like I'm just flicking. It's like slow geek week. Doesn't it seem like it? Slow.
Are you going to go see American Reunion?
No,
probably not.
I didn't even see the first one.
I did see the first one.
Did you?
It wasn't very good.
Now here's the thing: Serv, who's not here anymore, has seen every American Pie film.
But you know why? Is because
including the direct-to-DVDs.
But John, in Serv's defense, not that he would feel he needs defending, but I would say that those films feel like 80s films. So that is,
I guess so.
But no, I thought that there was one graduate joke sequence in the first film that was brilliant. And the rest of it, I was just like, this is. So
the first film, I did laugh and cry. I mean, laugh so hard I was crying.
What part?
Throughout the entire film, because it was just so wrong. And it did have that 80s raunch feel to it.
And really?
Back to John Rocks when he would fuck desserts.
I guess. You know, the thing is I... You know, in my developmental
like
years,
cold key lime pie.
You know, I look to John Waters for bad taste. You know, I'm just saying.
And oddly, I don't really like John Waters films.
I think it's an age thing, even though there's like a 7-year age difference.
Except
between
I think
us.
That Widge prefers John Waters over American Pie.
I think so.
It depends on the John Waters. I have.
Oh yeah, there's some that are just not that good.
I mean, I do not like a lot of scatological stuff. It can really get to the point where I'm just like, okay, that's kind of nasty.
Right.
But I mean, there is a way to be raunchy and funny. I mean, because hell, I think I mentioned this before. The South Park movie, I was crying. I was laughing hard. I was crying. You know what? I think I started laughing when I realized that it was really was a full blown musical, and did not stop. I don't think I stopped for the entire film. I was laughing so damn hard. So
there was an article in the Weekend Wall Street Journal, and there was a magazine section that had John Waters in it, and he was saying, like, he was bemoaning the fact that nobody really has bad taste anymore. He thinks that the nearest person that can direct bad taste is like Johnny Knoxville, which I've seen the Jackass film, and I'm sorry, I laughed. It was funny.
Well, you know what? What's funny was the last one, what was it, 3D? But the trailer, I was laughing my ass off.
Yeah.
There was just something about the giant hand smacking the guy that I just thought was very Stooge-esque. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, and speaking of which, so who's going to go see the Three Stooges movie?
No, I'm not. And I'm a Stooge fan.
Yeah, it looks really...
Wow. I can't even... It's like when they did a remake of The Little Rascals. There's just something wrong. And not being just wrong, like it shouldn't happen because it won't work.
Did The Little Rascals have a movie?
Yeah.
Now, didn't they? Yeah. Rox, did they have a movie and a series? Didn't they have another
series? Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Both were horrible. You know, the thing is there's something about like this Three Stooge. Okay, this bringing up that. Okay. You look at the humor of the Three Stooges. Okay, there's a lot of violence, a lot of slapstick, not a lot of, you know, swearing and innuendos, and some of it really low key, if there is. I was just watching over the weekend Certifiably Jonathan. Did anyone catch that from a couple years ago? It's this mockumentary about Jonathan Winters. And it is awesome. Now, here is a comedian that never swore or anything in his comedy. And the man is funny as hell. The premise of his film is he's a painter. He wants to be taken seriously. And this, he does talk about his time in a mental institute because he was in one. And he wants to be taken seriously about as a painter. So the idea is to get him into MoMA in New York City, Museum of Modern Art. So there's, you know, there's little bit parts. There's Sarah Silverman, the entire Arquette family. Tambor is in it, you know. So everybody's got like little bit parts, and most of them are playing themselves. And the man's hilarious without having to go overboard. So all of a sudden, when I saw the trailer for The Three Stooges, and they're making all these sexist type jokes, it's like, but they never did that. You know, I'm like, no, they don't translate well now.
Well,
even if you could do that Mo slap, which is amazing.
Well, you know, I would say for our dear listeners, what they should do is search on Mo Howard on the site. And there is a video of him demonstrating various
that slap.
Well, the slap, but also various ways of throwing pies.
Yes.
And it's him and, oh, crap. It's the Mike Douglas show. And it's him and, oh, crap. What's his face? Hang on. I will look it up. And the three of them with a crap load of pies and chaos. Just in.
Yeah.
It is brilliant. But
it is amazing on how he came up with that slap, which was like a really flabby. He doesn't hurt anybody at all. He just knows how to almost do a whiplash of his hand and do this. And the good thing about his other fellow actors is they understand when that comes. No,
we're still here.
Yeah.
I think I've lost you.
Well, you may have lost us, but we're still here.
Yeah.
I've lost you.
We didn't lose you, though. You can keep talking like you did, but we're still here.
Mm-hmm. So tune in for the next time for 404-382-0769. That is the new number for Help Me Rocks. So write that down. Put that in your data plan. Put it in a Rolodex. Remember that number.
Rolodex. Who the hell has Rolodexes anymore?
Ted Knight.
Ted Knight?
Yeah, that's who was on the show with him.
Oh.
Oh, I thought you were saying Ted Knight has
Rolodexes.
You
sound like you're in a drive-in theater.
I do?
Well, you did a minute ago.
Oh, okay. Don't drive away with the speaker attached to your window. If you do drive away and it becomes disconnected, we will not charge you extra. Bring it to the concession stand and we will reattach it.
When was the last time that the that you went to a drive-in?
Let's see. I went to one of the Monster Fests that they have here in Atlanta. Because part of the problem is they do one, but it's Labor Day weekend, so we're always busy.
Hey, let's all go there.
But they did one that was like, I think they showed some of the, no, they showed one of the Hammer Omnibus films.
Wow.
With, it was like a triple feature with like Mechagodzilla versus Godzilla. And then Vampire versus the Werewolf Women or something like that. Some Spanish dubbed horror film.
Ooh, okay.
It was crazy. And I that was probably a couple years ago.
I'm just saying because over this past winter.
You took your wolf family to it?
Yes. And you no longer get those little speakers. You're supposed to use the speakers in your car.
Yeah, you're supposed to tune to, like, I don't know, 1790
right,
you on your AM dial.
No, it was FM.
Oh.
We were FM. And you could tune into all the other films there because this place had, like, I think it has five.
Right.
Thingamadinkies. So.
You know, what occurs to me is that you could literally bring a Riff Tracks CD and go to the drive-in and watch a Riff Tracks commentary of the film.
Well, what you could do is get a little FM broadcaster and broadcast on those channels and put your own Riff Tracks over.
Oh, yeah.
To all the other cars.
Now, Rock has a hobby. another.
No, we don't have a drive-in.
No.
So I don't know. The last one I saw was a Planet of the Apes marathon.
Wow.
Yeah. I think after the third film, my dad's like, okay, we're going home. I've had enough.
You didn't even see the Mark Wahlberg version? You didn't even get to that one?
This was way before that, John.
There was a time before that?
Yeah. Yes, during a time where you had to churn your own ice cream.
At the concession stand.
At the concession stand.
Come try some of our
ice. Please, can I have some ice cream? Oh, you need to go over and churn some ice cream in order to get it. But that's for the other people. You'll have to wait for 30 minutes to get your own. It's how they were run back then.
There was no drive-in. You just took a really huge sheet and you strung it up in some trees and you pointed lights at it. And then you would get high and you would look at the light on the sheet and you would pretend you could see shapes.
But there were shapes.
There were. Oh, yeah. After taking enough pills.
Man, my house is flat, but I always think about getting one of those, projectors and stuff and getting a giant sheet, putting it in front of my house and do that. But then the liability of having strangers in your yard. That's explain things.
As opposed to in your basement.
Yeah, exactly.
Even those aren't breathing anymore, so there's very little liability.
Yeah, still.
What we don't realize is that Rox, because Spaz's house is so old, is actually grandfathered in to be a cemetery. So every time, the couple of times that her house has been searched, she's got all her papers in order.
I got the paper.
Blinks an eye.
Yeah.
Now, Rox, oh, you know what? I've got it. I know the film that you need to be the star of a remake of this film.
Ooh,
it's going to be the new. It wasn't originally Hammer, but it could be Hammer now.
Okay.
Rox's Spaz House in I Bury the Living.
Ooh, yeah. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
So for we actually posted it for 23 and a half days of Halloween the other day. But no, it's basically the concept is this guy is a cemetery caretaker, and he's got a map of the cemetery with all the plots laid out on it. And depending on what sort of pin he puts into your plot, if it's reserved for you, you might just keel over and die. Mm-hmm. So it's fun. Stephen King talks about it in Dance Macabre. So
did you ever see Cemetery Man finally? Spanish? Italian film? Really?
Okay. I'm familiar with it, but I have not seen all of it, no.
Oh, okay. All right.
But I understand that I need to.
Yeah, it's good.
It is on the list. And I think it's been until recently relatively hard to find on Region 1. I think they just recently did like a Blu-ray or something. I think I remember that last couple of years.
I think so. And oddly enough, I caught it on IFC once before they turned crap. Oh, hey, Cemetery Man. And then I saw it. And of course, when I saw it was, when you still had independent kids. There was one time when families can own their own video store. Yes, they would get all sorts of weird ass videos.
Kids, there was a time when you used to go to a store and check out videos and bring them home and then play them.
Yes.
Now, Rox, I will say, to be fair, a family could still do that. It would be dumb, but a family could do that.
Yeah, they could do that. Yeah, sure.
In fact, they have laws right now to keep people from doing that because there's just too many options.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's helmet laws and seatbelt laws and don't own video store laws.
And yeah,
because
they're just trying
too many
to get
option
by.
Laws.
We're just trying to get by with our videos. That's why I like that. That Rewind, Be Kind, what was that Black film?
Yeah, Be Kind, Rewind.
I liked that film. It was a cute film. I liked it.
And also, kids, now really ask your parents about this, because this is a tough one, is that there was a time when VHS tapes weren't priced for retail to be owned by individuals.
It was horribly expensive.
Oh my God, we bought
$89 for some film.
Yeah, no, we bought My Dad Arthur, which is his film and my.
Yeah. How much?
On VHS, it was $99.
No way! Wow.
That came out on VHS, which in today's currency is $12,015.
Yes.
I just looked it up on Google.
And if you watch the latest TED Talks about the expanse of how much money is on your iPod, it's like $8 billion.
Yeah. There's a recession. It's because, you know, because of your iPod. You. I'm talking to you. Yeah. None of us.
I'm wealthy.
I'm wealthy with digital shit.
Yeah, no.
It's amazing.
Well, even LaserDiscs were not cheap.
No.
When they came out with LaserDiscs, they were horribly expensive too.
Well, and I tell you this, kids, I will say this as well. This is a learning experience. This is an educational podcast.
Yeah, it took you 5 hours to get to the educational part.
Through all the mouth farts, part and wisdom. And that wisdom is the Criterion Collection did a crap load of stuff on LaserDisc that never had the rights to re-release on DVD. So if you ever see a James Bond Criterion Collection LaserDisc for, like, I don't know, less than $100, probably grab it.
Yeah.
Especially if it's got the commentaries on it that MGM made them take off. They're amazing. Anyway, let's just say certain things you should not say.
And you know what? Do you remember when laptops were like $5,000?
Okay. I remember.
Just even desktops.
No, I remember when there weren't laptops. Let me tell you, the first portable PC that I had was basically a PC-18 with a handle on it.
Ooh.
You literally had a... It was roughly the size of... Of a small bookcase. And it had a case with a strap, which no one carried it. And it was so fucking heavy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
But that was the first one that I had. And then the next one I had was roughly the size of a briefcase, and the keyboard folded down on both of them. The keyboard would fold down from the briefcase one, and the amber monochrome screen would unfold, as well as the single 3.5-inch diskette drive. Although on the portable, it was the IBM portable PC was the first one that I had, and it was a boat anchor like you would not believe. It had your choice of 2 5.25-inch discs, or you could have a, I think,
or have 2 5.25-inch discs.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was basically a PC in a different case, you could later on put a, get this, 10 megabyte, or here's something crazy, a 20 megabyte hard drive.
I remember skating when you had a 40 meg hard drive. It's like, wow, that's just so much space.
I know. I'm never going to fill this. We're never going to run out of processing power. And here I am with a PC with 8 processors and 8 gig of RAM and 3/4 of a terabyte of storage, and it's awful. So
You know what the funny thing is? They're talking about electronic hoarding now. You move from a physical, you know, hoarding now to a data type hoarding.
Well, but what's interesting is that we're being taught to do that, because if you look at, like, Gmail, their entire thing is, no, there's no ever need to delete anything. We'll save it. We've got the room.
Right.
You know? So I don't know. I try to. I have a zero inbox policy. And I keep that cleared out. And I, from time to time, go through and just wipe out stuff that I don't need.
I do.
Yeah.
I get rid of photos and stuff, too. If I know, you know, if you start looking at stuff and, like, as for an artist, it's like, oh, okay, the composition wasn't that good. It's like, get rid of it, you know. So, yeah, just keep the amount of crap down.
Digital hoarding. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. There's a lot of stuff that I just don't keep. I'll like listen to once or kill or something, because it's just, you know, otherwise.
Well, yeah, when you kill something, you need to get rid of it. I'm just saying, the stink. lie in a tarpaulin out in the backyard. It goes.
That's why you have the backhoe.
That's right.
Yep. Oh God.
That's the pause that refreshes every 15 minutes on Weekend Justice.
So, Johnny, are you awake?
I am here. Yes, I am. Yes,
Dude,
I am.
Put you to sleep with all of our nostalgia.
I know, John. What was your first computer?
My first computer was a Commodore 64.
How much was it?
Oh, I don't know. I got it for a Christmas present.
Oh, yeah. Christmas.
And then the sucky part of it was I didn't get a monitor with it. So
you had to use the thing TV. Where,
yeah, but it was put in my whatchamacallit, patio, sunroom thing.
Oh, the sunroom. Oh, did it get damaged?
No, it's in the. It was a covered porch. It was a caged in porch. How can I explain this? Because it wasn't a sunroom per se, because it wasn't in the front of the house, which I think is where sunrooms are supposed to be. It was in the back of the house, and it had a bar there. It's where my dad hung out. It had a bar and
where the dead hung out.
Yes, where the dead hung out.
Okay.
And my dad.
And then some guy from Comic Book Man put a tattoo of that dead thing on his body.
Of my dad on his body as a zombie. Anyway, it was where my dad hung out, because his bar was back there, and the TV was back there. So I had to split the time of the TV with him. So until I got a monitor.
Dad, I want to play a game.
Yeah, because the Commodore 64 plugged into the television, obviously. And I forget when it was that I got that, but then it was still out there in that room. I did eventually get a monitor, so that worked out well. So that was my first computer, and that's when I started programming.
Yeah,
that was not very interesting.
No, well, the first computer I had at home was the IBM PC, but I trained on a Display Writer, which was when I was 8, so that was 1980. And it was a $14,000 word processor. That's all it did. Green monochrome monitor, two 8-inch floppy diskette drives. And that was that. I mean, it literally was. They could not make enough of them, $14,000. It was a huge deal. So I trained on that. Before that, when I was 5, I trained on a Memory Selectric typewriter. I think it was a Model 3, which was kids ask your parents. It was a big deal in that it would remember a letter that you had typed. So when you needed to type the letter again, you could hit a button and it would type out the letter. Now, you had to get it right, because it would make any mistakes that you made as well, including the use of the correction tape. That's right, kids. There used to be, this is, again, you know, mouth farts aside, this is very educational. You used to have to use correction tape.
Whiteout.
Before
whiteout.
I would say this is post whiteout, because they figured out how to put whiteout on tape.
Oh, yeah. I hate that stuff.
What whiteout first, and then you had the...
Yeah, whiteout was first.
Okay, all right.
Liquid paper.
Yes.
You want to feel old, Widge?
No, because I do already. But go ahead.
And by the way, I just did the math. You have a very important birthday this year.
Thanks, John.
I
do that math every single hour of every single fucking day.
It gets worse after you pass it.
Are you going to be 42 as well?
He's going to be 42, yes. He's going to be 42.
Yeah, I'm going to be 42. That's right.
He's the answer to everything.
As well.
The other day, my kids literally asked, what is a typewriter? I just shook my head and walked away.
And did you say it's something to use into interior decorating?
Well, you know, because there was a thing on, I love to watch Sunday Morning on CBS. And, and they had a thing on there about the about how the typewriter is making a comeback. People
what?
Are
why
writers are falling in love with it because of the
clickety clickety clickily.
Well, here's the thing, and it's a very valid point. It's a very valid point. You have to think before you type, because fixing it is a pain in the ass. You got to get to start all over again.
Wow, I would never be able to do that.
So that's it's making a comeback, and then they talked about this one guy who had a typewriter. He was a teacher. He was what the heck is the thing where the English teacher? That's the word I was looking for.
A word teacher.
Ironically.
I know words.
It's wordology.
So he had a typewriter on his desk, and one of the high school students came in and said, "What is that?"
Read
and he just
loud.
Kind of he went, "I, how can you not know what this is?" And they thought it was some sort of fancy computer. And no, as it turns out, it's a typewriter, obviously. And so what he does is once a week now he makes them use a typewriter. He bought a bunch of used typewriters and brings them in, puts them out on the desk, and says, "You gotta type."
Well, and what's interesting?
Well, you know what? The computers from Brazil.
Spelling,
I love.
Spelling, and thinking. Those are the two things that typewriter makes you do. Man, go on.
I love the computers from Brazil.
Well, see, part of my thing is, first of all, I know some people like Neil Gaiman. He writes his stuff longhand. I don't, because when I am writing, I am trying to just basically spill everything out on the page as quickly as possible. I will write poetry and spoken word in longhand, but I have to have a computer for everything else, because part of why that wouldn't work for me and why that would stress me out is that part of why I'm able to get done what I do get done is that I go forward with the idea of it doesn't have to be good yet. I just need to, because my whole thing is you can't edit a blank page. So just get a first draft down. When I was finishing my book, there was one scene that I knew had to go towards the end that I did not know how to do. I just had not figured it out. So I literally put insert such and so scene here and moved on to the next one, because I knew exactly what it was supposed to pick up, just because I did not want to break the stride of just getting to the end of having a draft finished.
Well, I can see the point of using a typewriter. I'm right in the middle of Steal Like an Artist book, sort of a jog your memory into doing creative things. And he does make a point of doing stuff with your hands, and using a typewriter, you know, you have a more physicality, because you have to, depending on the typewriter, if you're talking in Underwood, you know, where you can almost cause arthritis immediately, because you striking the hammers, I think the keys to hammer it. It's really hard. It's very physical.
And
you know, of the older typewriters, it's very physical type of thing. And he makes the point that if you're and I understand this as a graphic artist that does work at a computer, that when I come home, I'm usually drawing because it's away from the computer, and I do some drawing on the computer, but not a lot, because you have more of a tactile feel and you're actually using your hands. And I can see the point of using a typewriter just to get a little more physicality, you know, soul into your work. Anyway, that's what I think. And those Underwoods, man, they'll cripple your fingers. I'm just saying.
It happens.
Yeah.
Ta-da! But no,
my fingers are broken.
I'm very happy to have a computer. I would go insane.
Oh, I am too. I love my iPad. It's great.
But on the iPad, I can't get up speed typing just because I need more of a keyboard. I think eventually I might, I don't know, I might grab that.
Just because you keep using emoticons in all your novels.
I am the emoticon novel guy. I in fact, you know what? My Kindle stuff is number one on the top 100 emoticon using
sales. Kindle stuff. What do you have on the Kindle, Widge?
You know, it's funny you should mention it. No, I have two books on Kindle right now. I'm working on the third one. My novel is available on Kindle, and Magnificent Desolation, which is the name of my short story collection, is on the Kindle, and they're both ridiculously cheaply priced, like 99 cents or $1.99 or something.
Yeah, very my sister was able to afford one.
What is the third one that you're working on, Widge?
Well, it's basically a revamped version of something else, my online microfiction series. The first, I think it's 26 short stories of that are going to come out as a Kindle edition. I'm going to do three volumes of that and then put them out as a book.
Hey, whatever happened to that story that you did with those guys with the iPods and they were DJs or nobody did any new music and stuff? That was actually, you read a chapter at, I think, DreamCon.
Yeah, Dark Blue Monstropolis. That is still in the works, and that is the first volume of that is going to come out on the Kindle as well.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's not on the Kindle, but I did this past week launch my first actual audiobook, which was pretty crazy.
Really, Widge? Where can people get that?
Well, it has its own website. It's SenecaAudiobooks.com. It is the letters of Seneca, because Timothy Ferris, who basically is the reason why I was able to lose more than 7 inches off my waist, because his book actually gave me an actionable diet. Every single time I turned around, he was like, because people are always asking, well, what should we read? What should we read? And he's like, well, he's smart. So he's like, first, well, my book, number one. And then number two, Seneca. So you would always want the letters of Seneca.
Not Marcus Aurelius?
No. Uh-huh. Not Marcus Cato either. And not Cato Institute. And not the Marcus Institute. As most listeners will know, I'm huge into audiobooks because I don't have time to actually park my ass somewhere and read. So I went looking for a Seneca audiobook and I couldn't find one. So I went, okay. And then I found there is a translation that's in the public domain, and I did a reading of that. So it's 8 hours. The first volume is 8 hours. It's the first 65 letters. It's about half the letters that are available. And it's on SenecaAudiobooks.com. So my first actual audiobook release. And my plan would be to eventually, if I thought I could do it and actually make a little bit of coin doing it, do audiobooks of my stuff professionally done and available for, you know, a lot cheaper. But it takes a long time. It took a long time to do the Seneca. And at the end where you just go, oh my God, it's only 8 hours. So, but no, I learned a lot from doing it. And the plan will be to eventually come back and do the second volume and the third volume of Seneca as well. And I'd love to do my own stuff as audiobooks, but it's just a matter of, you know, doing it in a way that will actually make money as opposed to just doing it to do it. Because, you know. Since I am going to be 42 this year, I gotta start thinking seriously about the long haul.
Yeah, everybody needs money. Just give us money.
Lots and lots of money. Hey, if people want to actually, you know, sponsor Need Coffee, how could they do that, Widge?
Well, you know, John, it's funny you should say that. They could go to needcoffee.com/sponsorship if they wanted to full on sponsor it, or if they wanted to do like a painless type of micropayment type of thing, like an ongoing thing. They could go to needcoffee.com/support. So either way, there are options. In fact, there might be too many options. I will admit that.
Widge.
Yes, John.
The name of your site is Need Coffee. Do you have any coffee?
Oh, my God. I'm getting into Help Me Rocks territory here.
If you need to, call 888. No, the new number is 404-382-0769.
If you're lost in Help Me Rocks territory, call Help Me Rocks. Oh, my God. Yes, no, we actually do sell coffee. If you go to the front page of the site, at the top, there's a banner that says needcoffee.com coffee. It's available. So, it's good.
Is that needcoffee.com/coffee?
You know, I don't know if that's set up or not. I put it on the front page, so you can get to it from any page. So I didn't think about that.
And if they wanted to give you money, it was needcoffee.com/give me money now, right?
Yes. Because I have too many options and am just getting by.
Needcoffee.com/buywidgetbeer?
Yeah, feed Widge. Feed the North American.
Well, you apparently don't need to be fed anymore.
No, I still.
You ran out of options.
Trust me, I eat.
Oh, there's the cheating day. Don't forget.
Well, there's cheat day, but part of the thing is when I first got on this diet, I was eating ridiculous amounts of food every 3 to 4 hours. I was burning through food like crazy. I was. Like 4 or 5 weeks into it, I got on Twitter. I said, I never thought I would say this. I am bored of eating. I'm so fucking bored of eating. So, but anyway. But no, I would,
first world problems.
I know. No, but I would recommend Tim Ferriss's books as part of my recommendation because, I mean, they have helped out tremendously. And again,
how well does the 4 hour work?
But doesn't he seem like a cocky son of a bitch?
But you know, he only works 4 hours out of the day.
No, I mean, he actually doesn't do that. I mean, his thing is the idea is not to just work 4 hours a week. The idea is to free up your time from having to work so that you can, if you want to work on whatever it is you want to work on, you can do that. Or if you want to travel, you can do that. It's a matter of freeing up your time because, as he points out and Seneca points out, time is the one thing that you have that you can't get any more of. And even if you lend time to someone, even if they really want to, they can't pay it back. I think about these things approaching 42 as I am.
And the end of the world.
And the end of the world, which me turning 42 really is the end of the world as far as I'm concerned. You go back and tell my 8-year-old self that I would one day be 42. And first of all, I knew I was going to be dead at 20, so that would be a huge surprise. But also the idea of being that, because that is to an 8-year-old, that is fucking ancient.
And then when you tell them that you're going to be 42 in 2012...
Then
he just accepts the math and moves on.
So,
well, because he never was good at math. He's still not.
Just be like me and be delusional, and you don't know how old you really are. That's what I do.
But Rox, you also bathe in the blood of virgins. Except 3 years old. So. And let me put it to you this way. Dear listeners, Rox was steam, screw the punk. She was just steam for the longest time. And then they came along and they were like, oh, this is steampunk. And she was like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I will say this, dear listeners. If you've ever read The Sandman, there's a great issue towards the end in which the immortal character Hob Gadling, who has been around for centuries, goes to a Renaissance fair. And... fucking hysterical. That is Rox every time she goes to a steampunk.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So she's immortal. You heard
that's
her.
Right. Yeah, you know, I'm just getting through my 1917 issue of Ladies' Home Journal. Yeah, I am. I am. I'm just reading this thing, Just the Dress for College.
Then I know that you're lying. Girls didn't go to college in 1917.
They did too, Mr. Man. They did.
In fact, they probably shouldn't go anymore.
But, well,
do you know you can buy an Overland, a 1917 Overland vehicle for $895?
I would like an Underland vehicle.
I wish I knew what Overland was.
It goes overland.
I don't know who made it. Willie's Overland Inc. from Toledo, Ohio. It's the Willie's Night and Overland Motor Cars for $895.
That's right, because it's Willie's Night and the feeling's right. Because right. It's Willie's Night. Oh, what a night.
Oh, what a night.
Anyway. What were we saying? Oh, yes.
I'm going to get one of these.
Fox Immortal, cutting off people's heads. Christopher Lambert, lightning. That's what we're saying. Rocks. Okay. Rocks is the Kurganet. There you go.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, my God. So, you know, we should probably move towards some recommendations.
Saunter over to recommendations.
Mosey towards recommendations. Rox, I think you should go first.
Okay. As I mentioned before, the Jonathan Winters film, it came out in 2007. It's called Certifiably Jonathan. Again, if you've never really, you can do a YouTube search on Jonathan Winters to see some of his great Jack Parr stuff. There is some Jack Parr stuff in this film, and he also, you can look up some of the Mork and Mindy episodes where he's on it. I mean, him and Robin Williams are fantastic together. Actually, Robin Williams does show up in this film. Again, just the synopsis is Jonathan Winters, after some time in a mental institute, he took up painting. The stuff is really good. It was sort of funny. I knew exactly on how well or how much of a mockumentary it was when the fake curator mentioned his work was more Magritte, where his work is really Miró. Okay, I'm just being picky as an artist. Also, another art type of thing. Now, this film came out the same year as Hobo with a Shotgun. It's got Rutger Hauer in it, and it's Millen the Cross. And he plays Bruegel, Peter Bruegel, Pieter Bruegel. And it's a really cool film because you're in the painting of the Road to Calvary, or some call it the Christ carrying the cross. It's a great big, well, it's a good sized painting. There's 100 peasants and people in this painting. Bruegel's painted during the time when Spain almost owned everything, and they owned they ruled Flanders, and they had these red coats that would go around and beat the peasants. There's not a lot of dialogue in this film, but there's always stuff going on. Basically, you see peasant life. I know Kim would love this film. They actually superimposed, like a countryside, and there's always a bit of the painting in the background, and it's seamless. Now, this is a film, to me, that could be done 3D because it's fantastic. Michael York's also in it, and Charlotte Rampling. The dialogue usually occurs between Rutger Hauer and his patron, who is the money banker, which is Michael York. And what he does is he discusses how the painting is how he's going to assemble this painting. Basically, in the structure of what he would call a spider web, and the action going around this one scene of Jesus pretty much hidden by carrying the cross and stuff. Fantastic film. Again, anybody that wants to make shit about, I'm sorry, Hobo with Shotgun, which was great, so was this. So for you art people and maybe our SCA friends, the costuming, some people, I know some of the critics thought this would be a shoe-in for an Academy because the costuming is freaking fantastic. So, Mill on the Cross, I'm done.
Excellent. Thank you, Rox. All right, John, what you got?
If you go to needcoffee.com/which-needs-another-beer before the end of the day, .com/donate. I think you'll find a special surprise. It'll be a 404 message.
Oh, God.
Wow.
No, I actually don't have anything really. I did pick up a Kindle this week.
Ooh, what kind?
Fire.
Okay.
Okay. I've got an iPad.
My sister's got a Kindle Fire, and she got one for my niece, and they both love them.
Okay, I feel inadequate. That's all right.
No, they're actually cool.
No, don't worry about it.
Now, the only thing is just so you know, if you put comics on it, you have to do a lot of pinching and scrolling and stuff. Just saying.
I don't know. The Comic X thing on here worked fine for me.
Okay.
Because it goes frame to frame, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Don't tell me to pinch and squeeze, you motherfucker.
and it's powered by Android, and it works.
Yes. That must be nice.
And it's small. It's like, what, 7 inches by?
Yeah, it's a seven inch tablet. It's a little heavier than I had anticipated, but the thing is I got it for $139 from Amazon refurb. So
you can hold it with one hand, right?
Yeah,
you'll be fine.
Yeah, but it's heavy. It is very heavy. I think it might actually be heavier than the iPad.
Really?
Yeah, this is 1 pound 7 ounces, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. I think the iPad's like under 1 pound.
Oh. Okay.
If I may be wrong. I don't know. I could look it up, but I don't have the internet around here. Let's see. Oh, so yeah. So
you're playing Angry Birds on it?
No. I rooted
you
it.
Got books
I got
on
it. I got it yesterday, and I started rooting it. And actually, the reason why I actually bought one was twofold, because I'm working on some projects that involve me needing to have a different form factor for Android, and whatchamacallit. Also, because I'm going to be traveling a lot over the next coming months. And be gone, you know, traveling across, like I'm going on, for crying out loud, Southwest to Seattle from Tampa. And if anybody knows anything
That's
about South,
far.
Southwest, exactly. Southwest is, there is nothing to do on a Southwest flight.
they don't even have go-go?
You have to provide your own entertainment.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. There is that. So that's why the other reason why I got it. It was inexpensive. I don't want to buy an iPad, and I refuse to be part of the clones. So
we're not clones; we're individual people.
Mm-hmm. Sure, you keep telling yourself that you're individual people, just like everybody else is individual.
You know,
people.
John, do you think that anybody wants to clone me? For Christ's sake, really?
I'm joking, anyway. I appreciate the iPad. I'm just jealous. Really, that's what it all boils down to. Is I'm just jealous.
Oh.
Yeah, and call Help Me Rocks helpline, which is
404-382-0769.
Yeah, the 800 number will be going away. It's on your dime now. You want her help?
Yeah, but you know, you got roaming people. You have long distance.
Yeah.
Can they Skype that call?
Rocks,
can
the they, roaming people are called gypsies. So
they can't.
Travelers, man.
Sorry.
In fact, actually, Rocks, they could actually Skype it if they Skype Need Coffee Live, all one word. They can leave their message there as well.
There you go, people. Options. Too many options.
And watch us on Ustream, which, of course, by the time this comes out, it'll be too late to do. But you can catch us the next time.
Da, 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 da,
when we'll have another special guest. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know how to end this, Widge. Help me.
Say
help
done.
Help me, Widge.
Done.
Say over to you, Widge.
Over to you, Widge.
Oh, thanks, John. All right.
Oh, by the way, if you want to buy a Kindle Fire, I think there's only one place you can buy that, and that's through needcoffee.com/Amazon?
Yes. Yes, that is how you, for all of your Amazon needs, save that URL, and we get kickbacks.
I do have a question about that. It just popped into my head, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but...
Yeah, you're good. What's up?
If I was to buy stuff on my Kindle, you're not going to get... You're not going to get a benefit from that, are you?
I don't know how is there an app on there? Is that how it works?
Yeah, there's a, it's, you know, basically there's, if you go to books, you can buy any of obviously I'm not buying physical media here. Oh, but there is an Amazon, actual Amazon.
Odd.
There is an actual Amazon app on here.
Yeah, there's one on the iPad as well, and it's not very good. So I always just go to the website from the iPad.
Right. But the question here is, though, you don't get credit for that, though, do you? If I was to buy, let's see, what is in my browsing history here? A Brew Hauler, which is a carboy carrier. Let's see, or a 5-gallon glass carboy. A home brewing immersion wort chiller, 25-foot copper tubing. So if I was to buy any of these things, or let's see, the heavy metal airsoft pistol, 6-inch, or the extra magazine for the SA PR76, any of these things you would not get credit for then if I was to buy them through my Kindle.
I believe that's correct, yes.
So I should go out here, I should click on the little web thing and go to needcoffee.com/Amazon and then buy it through there.
Yes.
Okay.
I believe that would be accurate.
All right. Sorry to bother you. Okay. Back to you.
No. I appreciate you clarifying. And that makes sense. And I hope that the app is better on the Kindle than it is on the iPad, because on the iPad, you're missing half the shit. Anyway, so my recommendation, apart from, I would say a couple things. First of all, you could pre-order Ghost Protocol, which is worthwhile. I'm assuming you could pre-order from Best Buy if you wanted to get the 3-disc set. I would also say that another thing to pre-order is the Alec Guinness Tinker Tailor, which is coming out on Blu-ray on the 24th from Acorn Media. So that's going to be excellent. I will say also, just to reiterate a couple of other recommendations I'd made before, the Boardwalk Empire Season 1 Blu-ray is fantastic. And the Tinker Tailor Gary Oldman Blu-ray is excellent. It really is one of the best commentaries I've heard in a long time, and they were very smart to put that together. Oldman is just a fascinating human being. But I would also say, please do go check out SenecaAudiobooks.com, and I would recommend giving a listen to the sample letter that's up there. And if you enjoy it, snag a copy for yourself. It is good. Oh, and I did previously recommend the two Tim Ferriss books, because they are they're quite good. And the thing about that, or any book really, is that even if you can't apply everything that's going on in there, it is still very interesting and informative. So those are recommended.
Ding.
Yeah, I know. We had about 6 other people recommend stuff, but the damn mouth farts, it was just overwhelmed them. So I'm sorry about that, everybody. Maybe next time.
Yeah.
And Scott's going to be so upset that we cut that bit out, because he actually read the book this time. So.
Sorry, Scott.
Mouth farts. But anyway, so I think we've reached the point in the podcast, just like every week, where to say to
my motherfucker.
Don't you tell me to turn off this podcast, motherfucker. Can you follow me any closer? Just right on my ass. Shut up, Scott. So I think it's time on Weekend Justice when we should all say wolves.
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 Spoken like a man who speaks that word a lot.
Uh-huh.
Wolves.
I need to go out and buy some red tape.
Red tape?
Yeah, so I can start marking cars with little stickers, families on it.
Oh, that thing.
Yeah.
We're back there again.
Why not? I gotta start my weekend somehow. On a Tuesday.
With some justice.
Damn that red tape.
No, I think rocks. Here's what I actually like better is let's say you find like an SUV or something, and they've got like a family of four,
right?
Dog, and the decals like on the back window.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is bring some extra decals with you, and then add like a fifth person.
Uh huh.
And with some accoutrement, because they have them, they sell them where they come with soccer balls or whatever else, and just put a mystery person on there. Because the Xing out somebody is alarming and perhaps a little vague and threatening. But just going, honey, and this is the sort of thing. This is the sort of thing that's the equivalent of the thing I mentioned before many moons ago, that I wanted to, if I had a season pass at like Disney World, I would just get all of us together and we would pick a family that was taking photos and just wander around and follow them all day and wind up in the background. All their photos.
Oh my God, that would be so creepy.
Knowing that we would never see the result, but just knowing that at some point, maybe not that day, maybe not even in the next year, but one day they would be looking through their photo album and go, who the fuck are these people?
Yeah.
So just imagine soccer mom in the safety of her garage, all's well. She's just unloaded the car. She goes, she shuts the back. She looks and she notices that extra fifth person that you added a week and a half ago. And just goes, honey, who is this?
Okay, all right. Okay, how about this? Instead of like the extra person, how about you add like a red line, like through an arm or a leg? Not a full X, but just an appendage. Just to say that would be creepier.
or what you do is you
draw penises on everything.
So no, well even better, you actually, instead of just like a red X, you could change out the decal. You just scrape off one of the people and the decal you replace it with is a person that's been hit by like a falling safe. And just see how long it takes them to notice that. Yeah.
Oh, and kids, just so you know, this is a Help Me Rocks thing. If you want to get rid of the decal, buy yourself a can of Bestine, which is like an isopropyl alcohol, which will remove decals, just so you know. There's my help tip today.
There you go.
Spreading joy amongst those people that have decals.
Perfect. Oh, God.
Can we go now?
We can.
Okay.
What if we don't want to?
Well, John, I mean, it's your line. You can, it's, I mean,
you can stay on as long as you want. Party. We're going.
If I want to. Party if I want to.
If you want to. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But if you want to, you can. It's a free country. John, you've got options.
I know.
I don't like having so many options is really what I'm trying to say.
Okay, well, John, here's I'll just give you one option. Just stay on the line. See, don't you feel better?
Well, I like at
John,
least two options.
John, stay on the line. Somebody will get right back to you. That what biker. That
John, you're
bike.
Calling yourself from inside the house.
Motherfucker.
Go get one of your wolf children to go ask them.
They're in London right now.
Are they really?
Yep.
No, they're not.
They're werewolves in London.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Oh. Oh, oh.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah. All right.
Getting Chinese food.
Yeah. Tear your lungs out and put them in the Chinese food. All right. I'm going to go pee.
Bye.
Bye, folks. Bye.
See you tomorrow, John.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know that other show.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Start broadcasting at 9. See you at 8:30-ish. I'm talking to myself. Just not unusual. Do, 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 do. Wonder. Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as NeedCoffee.com. NeedCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without NeedCoffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, Need Coffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so so the fine folks at Need Coffee are asking for your help. Please head over to needcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frou-Frou, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?
And here's Dakota.
Did you hear a vacuum type sound there?
No.